Bobbitt. The Drew and Mike Show is rolling for Wednesday in the DealsNadie.com studios. Normally, Thomas Samazaway is here, but
he's missing.
He's been selected for jury duty. The only one in the group, apparently, that was kept.
I don't believe that. Do you believe that?
I don't know what
to think. The only one.
I got to tell you, I've never had anyone miss a show for jury duty.
No.
Never. Been doing this 35 years.
Seem a little phony.
He seems excited for the opportunity.
He did send a picture of Carl Marlinga's courtroom. So he is at a courthouse of some sort.
I'm not saying I don't believe him. I'm just, you know, I've been asked to do jury duty before, and I think it's one of those things that I just sort of forget about, and I never send the thing back in, and they never ask me, because I always think I'm too busy anyway, which I know is wrong. I don't feel great about it.
I had to do it once. It lasted 1 hour, and they sent everyone home.
Okay, well, I'm sure it's legit. He might show up later.
I told him, I said, why don't you just tell him you're racist? That's what they say.
You don't want to do that.
Why not?
I've always claimed financial hardship. I can't take time off work, and they've granted me absence because of that.
Oh, but being a racist is not okay.
You don't want that on your record.
You don't put it on your record. What are you talking about? What record?
Still, someone
your
will come
jury out. Duty record? Then you do want it on there, so they only can ask you back.
Still.
I also said they'll probably turn him away because he's always got his face in his phone. He doesn't pay attention and doesn't take follow orders very well.
Yeah, he could definitely cause an appeal because that juror three was in his phone the whole trial.
It's really funny, Drew. I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, how we know Maz. I'm like, would that benefit the defense or the prosecution? And I don't think it would benefit either side because he would feel bad for the defendant, I think.
I see him being in the jury
you
room.
You butt out.
And having just some ludicrous opinion based on nothing.
Yeah,
and
feeling.
Then they beat him down for like 3 hours and he's okay, whatever. The way he caves in eventually.
He would acquiesce. Yeah, he'd cave in. Yeah. Someone on Facebook Live wants to know what his quid pro quo is for being on jury duty. But he sets it up for other people. That's the problem.
You're right. I mean, he's so pro, you know, O.J. Simpson and stuff like that. No matter what this person does, he's gonna see the best in them. And he's going to say not guilty.
You're right. He will feel bad for the defendant for having to be there. He won't think about what he did.
Insane hot take, and the whole room will be, what? And then he'll wildly defend it and then cave in. Take up a lot of time. Anything for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
We tried our Home Depot blocking guy back.
Oh, man.
He's just still not answering. We still haven't called Stan.
Oh, yeah, we could always call Stan.
He's probably still partying for his Grey Cup championship.
Hall Financial brings you the Hall Financial Hotline, by the way, and we're in December. Mortgage interest rates remain as low as they've been at any point this year. A lot of people may feel like, did I miss the boat on refinancing to save some money? And that's the reason a lot of people do it. They go, oh, my God, look at all these people saving money. Why am I not doing that? I'm smart. Well, the answer is no, you haven't missed the boat. Rates remain super low, although the news doesn't report it as much because it's been going on for so long. Hall Financial takes special care of the podcast listeners. We all know that. It's been a great connection. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com, 248-308-5000, or you can click the link on our website if you want to save money for, you know, next 20, 25 years, 15 years, 10 years. Not a bad deal. And they close so fast. Of the last 22 closings, 17 were ready to close in 10 days or less. So you can start saving money fast.
I know that. I'm not stupid. I'm smarter than you.
Or maybe you need to take money out of your house. Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number something. It's not on the new copy.
Wait, what?
The NMLS number?
Oh.
Oh, 146.
I can't believe we don't have it memorized by now.
I know, you should. 1467435. My day got off kind of a weird start because I started reading some email. It's on Twitter. And, you know, this Eddie Van Halen thing. Couple people sent in some other stuff on Van Halen because their fans are so intense. And I love Van Halen. Great. I've become a much bigger fan over time for some reason.
Yeah!
And there was a lot of people like they thought it was cool that Eddie'd only bought one album and that it was Peter Gabriel's So because it's such a good album.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Like he has really high musical standards.
Yes. He buys one album every 33 years.
come on.
And he only does the only buys the best one. So anyway, I start listening to. I just start playing So this morning, and then I start digging into Peter Gabriel. I'm going, oh my God, why does nobody talk about Peter Gabriel anymore? Why isn't he in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What's going on? He was in Genesis. No, he's in Twice. I had looked it up.
Oh, okay.
Got over it. But just saying, that's how my day started.
It's not a bad way to start a day.
It wasn't. And I was watching old live Genesis. I mean, Genesis. Peter Gabriel, Phil Collins, and Tony Banks, and who's the Mike and the Mechanics guy?
Tony Banks, the former Spartan quarterback?
Yes. He was in Genesis before he went to Michigan State. I thought I was going to spank that. God, there's some of the most badass bass playing on this record. And that, do you remember the song Steam?
Not really. I don't go that deep with them at all.
I saw him live, but he was probably 52 or 53 when I saw him. It was a while back. He puts on a tremendous show, and I hadn't seen him back in the 90s or 80s, and he was quite a front man. Anyway, just
all I remember is the videos were on MTV.
Oh,
all the time.
And the videos are fantastic. That's why I've never seen his live cuts, because I always watch the video.
Wasn't Sledgehammer the most aired?
Ever.
Yeah, most aired video ever on MTV.
Watched video ever. Yep. Yes, sir. And,
what about In Your Eyes from Say Anything?
That's what got Eddie into it. He went to the movie.
That's right.
He saw Cusack. He got the CD.
That boombox.
He dug it. Elton John, did you see his fit?
Yeah. What a little hissy fit.
He's such a bitch.
I know. That's why we like him, right?
I love him. I love Elton John. And I don't know what was going on. I guess security was being mean to some woman.
Somebody.
And there's audio of it. They bleeped it on Daily Mail. I was surprised. But
I was listening to...
There's no way to treat a woman, you moron!
I was listening to the... Pearl Jam station. I gotta find. I know I can.
Is that 19 on?
I think it's 22 on Sirius.
Okay.
And of course, it's always live music, but it's worth.
Is it too live? Because the Springsteen Channel's like, can we hear the studio cuts once in a while, please?
I think it's too live, but you can really. There's a lot of hit or misses in stage banter with Eddie. And I love the topic
of stage banter.
With him, it's incredibly stupid. All his stage banter is really dumb.
I think that's what led me south with Van Halen was the first time I saw him was with Sammy.
Yeah.
His stage banter's terrible.
Well, it's David Lee's is terrible.
I know his
too.
Is terrible too. But stage banter.
So it was Paul Stanley's. Remember he had all that kiss?
Yes. It's
Who
so
has
loud.
Good stage banter? Bono has terrible stage banter because he wants to give you a TED talk in the middle of the show.
Here's some Paul Stanley. Every once in a while, we like to get a little wasted. We like to take a taste
of alcohol. What? God. I don't know if we got any people here tonight that like to get it. Good one, Paul.
I mean, there's something to be said for no stage banter, actually.
Yeah, I know. And
I mean, isn't Welcome Detroit, isn't that really enough? Anything else takes away time from the music, and it's probably going to be stupid or trite.
Well, remember when Spinal Tap was on The Simpsons, and he's like, hello, and he flips his guitar back so you could see the name Springfield. So, Eddie, I want to say the show was in Europe somewhere, and there was an incident like Elton John in the crowd, and he's just like, is that the pusher right there? That's what he was saying. Then he said something along the lines of, you need a lesson from your parents, which seemed like a really odd thing to say. And there's like 15 seconds between each comment.
Is that something you need to hear every time you hear the live cut?
No, not at all. But it was the first time I heard it, so I was very captivated by it. And then he goes, why don't you go to hell? Another 15 seconds passes. And then he goes, or heaven.
What?
What a song. So dumb. God bless him. He was so bad. I had to see if I can find it.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, so I was getting off on Peter Gabriel. Man, great. I always wonder, because so many of these bands that I love, some of them, some of these old songs, for some reason, they become things now. And you look them up and you see, oh, wow, Sledgehammer, it's got a zillion.
I love you, Peter.
It's got a zillion downloads it could be any song. The song that you don't expect, which always surprises me when some album cut suddenly lands in a movie and 25-year-olds love it.
Did you get the email about Life on? You don't watch Watchmen, but I know Brandon and I love the show.
Trent Reznor?
Yeah.
Yeah, The Life on Mars, the instrumental version.
And it's really cool because it's one of those things like you
Somebody sent it to me this morning.
You have to know the song to get the reference.
Mars.
That makes sense.
Yeah, well, there's no lyrics in it.
Yeah, Dr. Manhattan's supposed to be living on Mars, obviously.
There's no lyrics in Trent's version.
Yeah.
It's a Bowie track.
It was really cool. Did you listen to it?
I did. I liked it.
Yeah. It's really slow, but it works so well.
I mean, it's hard to do anything with this song. It's...
It's slow down.
It's got a little bass track on it that I thought was cool.
It picks up. Yeah, it picked up. They ran it over the credits. Did you catch it, Brandon, when you were watching the show?
No, I didn't catch it at all. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Was this the most recent episode?
Yeah, it's right, spoiler alert for anybody that's watching, but it's right when Dr. Manhattan reveals himself at the end.
Okay. I don't know, I'm getting sleepy.
Is this the version I listened to this morning?
Yeah,
seems like it might not be as good.
You get speed up in the track.
I'm kidding.
I hate you both.
No, I'm still sleeping.
There's the bass. It's very atmospheric.
It worked. It worked on the show.
Somebody that sent it to me said something about, is Trent Reznor allergic?
We're waiting.
Is he allergic to being filmed in color? Is there some reason he has to always be in black and white?
He's mysterious.
He is mysterious.
Hey, slow down.
He was playing a Bowie song, because I got sidetracked from Peter Gabriel. God, YouTube, I can just land in YouTube for hours.
I know, it's a bad rabbit hole.
I mean, Peter Gabriel, somehow, I got to get The Life on Mars.
Next thing you know, you're going to be an anti-vaxxer. You're going to join ISIS.
No, not yet.
Get your ass to Mars.
We need to talk about that, though.
White supremacists.
There's a great topic with platform versus publisher, which we've talked about before.
Oh, yeah.
I got from Life on Mars to Trent Reznor covering I'm Afraid of Americans, the Bowie song.
Hmm.
And they worked, I think they worked on that song together.
Really?
It was around the time of Little Wonders. I think it's the same time Little Wonders is on. It's a great song. And Trent was playing it.
I'm not the biggest fan of that song, but it's okay.
He was playing it like a year ago in Vegas. I think he and Bowie wrote it together or something.
Well, you can kind of hear the Reznor influence.
Oh, definitely. Little Wonders, too.
Ooh, look how brooding they both are in the video, too. Do you think you can get away with what Bowie's wearing in this video?
Today?
Yeah.
Well, I can get away with anything.
No, you. Could you wear
what
Bowie's
wearing? No.
A yellow turtleneck where the neck part is really huge. And then what is that, a plaid or paisley jacket?
I know. Bowie just looks cool in anything.
I know. But you can wear that. I can't wear that. Is that Richard Sherman over there?
Oh, is Legion of Doom in this?
Legion of Boom. Didn't it look like him?
I like this song. I like Trent's version, too. It was cool. Hmm. So, yeah, I was all just winding through YouTube, and maybe that's a good time to bring out the email I got about, if I can find the fucking thing. First, I should probably mention that there's that that new
the lock. Famous video,
the new lock, not the old Brandon lock, but the one that's been stolen by Zotfard and that lunatic Gabara as he and the hottest staff in Oakland County are busting in on Brandon's territory. As you know, stealing things is usually how people have success.
It's
stealing
very
great ideas.
It's flattering.
All I've got I had to steal.
Why are those so funny?
Because they're ridiculous.
I know. He sounds like he's goofing all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The lock of the month at Zotford and Holly. The never-before-seen trifecta that will more than double your paycheck. Get 0% financing up to 72 months on your next new Ford. And then on top of the 0% loan, you'll make no payment on your new Ford for 3 months. People try. It never works. You cannot pay.
Oh, God!
You're locked out. And that reminds me of the third lock. In addition to 0% financing, no payment for 90 days, Zotford will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash.
Woo!
Zod Ford will give you as much as $7,000 in cash when you buy or lease a new Ford. Take that cash, purchase your loved ones, gifts for the holidays, pay bills, go on vacation, get a lower car payment. Pick up the phone, call Anthony directly to activate your lock trifecta of the month with 0% financing, no payment until after the holidays, $7,000 in cash in your pocket. 248-215-5151 is the magic number. 248-215-5151. Call Anthony now before Brandon tries to kibosh Zod Ford's ultimate lock.
This dude should be arrested for thief. I'll tell you all about it.
Then we've got our friends at Dr. Yaldo's office. Give yourself the gift of 20/20 vision or better in 2020. Hey, how catchy is that?
Oh, wow.
It's not going to happen.
It's the year of eyesight.
A long time.
He should call it the year of eyesight.
The only way to have precision, near and far vision without glasses, contacts, and those utterly annoying reading glasses is safe, reliable, state-of-the-art procedures like those you get with the Yaldo Eye Center, Michigan's number one eye clinic. Custom LASIK offered by Dr. Yaldo gives most of his patients better than 20/20. And multifocal lens exchange for people 45 and older will forever eliminate the need for reading glasses, along with 20/20 far vision. If you have a Flex or health savings account that expires at year's end, use it toward the best gift you can give yourself, no matter when you come in for your procedure. Find out what works for you. Evaluation's free, and they do have lenses and frames and all that stuff. Sunglasses. Get the best paid lease. Dr. Yaldo will gladly beat any competing offer you may have gotten elsewhere. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. This is an insert, because I forgot to mention the Lodge Bar and Grill Thursday night for Killer Cares and the auction, which is going on at KillerCares.org. This is recorded after the show and inserted by Brandon.
In the future.
Nobody would have known if you didn't say that.
I know, but I thought it might sound different or weird or something. Is there something you wanted to mention, Maz, about the...
Maz isn't even here right now.
That's why it sounds weird, because Tom's here. Yeah.
I know, it's magic. It would have been total magic.
Right. I was here the whole time. They just didn't pay attention to me.
No, you spaced out. You didn't pay attention to
me. Are you bartending early?
No, I'm bartending with you. You guys.
Oh, okay. Are you going to see Blaine? Are you guys going to have it out?
I heard that he's going to be there in the 6 to 7 hour, and we're there to 7 to 8 hour.
Yell at you?
I'm not sure
how it's... scurry out the door to
I'm not sure how it's going to go.
The confrontation.
I'm not sure how it's going to go.
Yeah, we're 7-8. Amy's with us, and...
Yeah, and Larry Murphy, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Murph.
Larry Murph.
Yeah, Murph's nice, man.
He always is on with us.
I got to say, I really enjoy all the people that come.
It's a fun night.
All the radio and TV people have been real nice, and it's great to see all you guys. So please come and give generously if you want to bid on any items at killercares.org.
I was looking at... the schedule for Pearl Jam Radio and Sirius. It's like, here's their schedule. Pearl Jam Radio, Pearl Jam Concerts. Pearl Jam Radio, Pearl Jam Concerts. Pearl Jam Radio, Pearl... It's like every 2 hours. There's too many concerts on the station.
Yeah, Bruce's channel is the same way.
Yeah.
Too many bootlegs. And yeah. I love Bruce, and I love Pearl Jam.
Tom Petty's channel's pretty good.
You know, I like the garage... station, Lil Stevens thing.
Yeah.
They play some really cool tracks that I've never heard.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
And they play a lot of tracks I have heard.
I like.
But it's a definite flow to the format. I mean, somebody, whoever's doing that, if it's Lil Steven or if he's got 50 other people running around,
he's heavily involved in it.
They definitely have a feel for garage as I think it's supposed to sound.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
Because you could do a real shit job calling the wrong thing garage rock. All right. So a couple things locally. The palace is not being torn down.
No.
As reported yesterday.
No. But a lot of questions were raised because the sign has disappeared on the side.
This is a real funny outcome. I mean, a real funny correction to the story. They had a big, you know, ladder up in the air, and the guy taking PALACE off the building. And so, did they just jump to the conclusion?
Well, yeah,
it sort of sound that way.
I think that's the first step, right? Taking the
it holds 22,000.
Well, did they think of asking someone?
The Free Press finally did, and it's one of those articles. It's like, why would you read an article about the palace not expected to be torn down? This year or until January.
But yesterday it was being torn down.
I know. But what?
So look at all this bullshit I read for nothing because they took the sign down.
There's no permits have been pulled. I mean, the story's kind of boring until you get to the part.
Why didn't somebody do some homework on this? I hate to keep harping on.
Well, the Free Press did. They got to the bottom of it. They finally talked to Kevin Grigg, who works for the Pistons. He's the spokesman.
Why didn't they talk to him yesterday?
I don't know.
Didn't they report this?
I only heard that from you and Trudy after the show yesterday.
It was on one of the local papers. Maybe it wasn't the Free Press.
Mm.
No, yeah, palace being torn down.
Well, they got to be first. Got to be first.
That's right.
Stupid. But Kevin Grigg said workers took down the lettering because someone purchased it at the recent palace auction.
Oh.
And he declined to identify who it is.
I know they donated seats, too, so they are getting rid of things.
They donated 3,000 seats to another arena that needed new seats,
I guess. I'm stuck. Who wants those letters?
I don't know. I'm staring at him going, how can you rearrange this to make somebody's name?
Are those letters going to be in someone's basement?
I hope so.
It's so stupid.
Along with the ring that was around Michigan Stadium, the Hail to the Victors ring.
They sold that to someone?
I don't think so.
I immediately suspected Maz, depending on the price.
Well, he wanted the road sign for the Silverdome. Does the palace hold?
Who wants that?
No one.
Well, Maz, but. I mean, honestly, that doesn't even make any sense to me.
I wonder who did buy it.
Well, they're not revealing. It's so dumb. It's so dumb that someone bought it that they won't reveal who it is because they don't want to embarrass them.
A restaurant buy it?
I hope not.
Is there someplace in Auburn Hills that just wants the Auburn Hills part, but they had to buy the Palace of?
If anyone sees it, please let us know who bought that.
Why won't Grigg tell us? Come on, Kevin.
They finally got.
By the way, they did say they're going to blow it up, though, when they do it.
Oh, they are. Now we're talking news. That's exciting.
The firm that bought it, along with Goris, which is kind of weird that he bought it from himself.
Well, it shows you how valuable it wasn't. Unlike what they told us when they first moved downtown, they said, that property's worth so much, $110 million, $100 million. No one apparently offered.
He had to find someone to buy half of it, apparently. The firm intends to implode steel beams in the venue's roof in March. Well, is that going to be worth watching?
It better blow up good. Don't say it's going to blow up and then don't blow it up.
Instead of an implosion, shouldn't they do an explosion with it with all that space around it?
Yeah, you could. It's just
huge mushroom.
Bigger cleanup. But
ready for a bomb?
Look how exciting it would be.
Sell tickets.
You'd have a lot of live media there, I would think, if you really blow it up.
Might be a little more dangerous, but isn't that the fun?
Absolutely.
Ooh, and they could do a flyover. And have one of the, like an F-16 blow it up with a missile.
Well, now you're getting a little wild there, but I mean, I love the idea. I don't know why they couldn't.
That'd be so cool.
Somebody runs into enough money, that'll happen. Somebody will do it. We have so many idiot millionaires now. It could very well happen.
I know. Come on. Can't Elon Musk do it? That sounes like something he'd be into.
No, he's busy. He's busy.
That's right. He's in court. Did you see him in court?
With pedo guy.
Today. Oh, he's in with pedo guy today?
Today is his court.
So he's on. Is he testifying today? He said he was going to testify.
They showed him walking into court, going through the metal detectors.
Wow. That's.
That's going
to
bring.
I don't know what to make of Elon Musk anymore. I mean, I was very intrigued by him. I still am.
He's an idea man, and that's it.
The pedo guy thing was not a good look.
Yeah.
Teresa Brennan was the Livingston County judge who. It turns out there was a very large case there. And the detective in the case just happened to be mixed up with her in a way that men and women get mixed up.
Yeah.
And he was a very important witness. And, of course, this came out. There were all kinds of questions. And I don't think a lot of truths were immediately told about the topic.
Well, didn't they convict a murderer, too? And he gets to...
There's a few cases.
So now they all have to be retried?
I don't know if they all have to be retried, but they're all being appealed. They're all being looked at. If they haven't already won their appeals, but when you told me today that she pleaded guilty to perjury, I want to say this started like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
What the hell took so long?
The wheels of justice move slow, Drew.
Well, you know, probably because you have a judge involved. She probably knew how to delay it.
17 months it's been going on.
Has she been presiding over trials? Do we know?
Well, she got removed.
Was she paid leave or something?
No, she was. They I mean, she's done. But, yeah, she pled guilty to perjury today. So 17 months for her to plea.
Oh, was it seven? It seemed longer than that. But
17 okay. months? That's a long time.
No, it is a long time. And when the woman's trial, probably much longer ago than that.
Yeah. She was charged with three felonies, so she just pled to the perjury one.
She wasn't fully removed until June when the Michigan Supreme Court kicked her out.
Yeah. Because she knew how to fight it.
Okay, there you go. Well, I was watching a Dateline last night where this, let's see. Okay, this guy and this girl are married, and she has two kids. They adopt a kid because for some reason, I don't know if it was bad sperm or what. They didn't say.
Maybe it's bad egg.
I felt like they, I know. I felt like they should have told us.
Bad sperm or bad egg.
I don't know. It just seemed sort of germane. I don't know.
We're getting hitched.
So they adopt a kid. And he's over the moon. He wanted to have his own child. He loved his stepkids. He sounded like a great dad. He sounded like a great guy. She sounded like a real, she was super hot, and she was a disaster. He was just, his boner led him into her, yeah. And he couldn't get out. So they divorce.
Like a divining rod.
Yeah. It was funny the way they told the story, too. It was like, she started having an affair with this state trooper, and she told him, and he said, he admitted to having a little fling with someone in the office.
Oh, the nice guy?
Yeah, which was over, and I guess it was... Anyway, she went completely berserk after telling
that's
him...
That's right. They don't own a mirror, right? There's no mirrors in the house?
I guess
she can't look at herself?
There's, she's having an affair with someone. Yes. It has been for a while. He had a little affair, he said, brief with someone in the office, and she went ballistic, threw him out, made him leave that night.
Wow.
And so he's...
Wait. Did he? I'm so confused. Did he admit to the affair?
Yes, he did. He did. When she told him,
she told him. Yes. So he already knew about hers.
Yeah, I think he did know. I think hers was more out there for some reason.
So was he like, wait a second? This started because you admitted that you're currently having an affair.
Well, that's what
I just caught my wife with 10 guys running a train on her ass.
I think reasonable people would agree that it's tit for tat. I mean, certainly he shouldn't be thrown out of the house immediately.
Maybe the real story is he wanted to leave.
Screw you. I heard you were cheating on me.
Well, Dateline starts interviewing some of his friends who were saying that she really seemed like she just didn't really dig him that much, he was really affectionate and she wasn't at all to him. It was really sad, actually. So anyway, I'm telling the story in Mazaway time.
I'm sorry. Too many questions.
No, I'm not doing a good job either. Anyway, he moves out. They've got the adopted child together. So he wants his time with his, you know, what's legally his kid. And she doesn't want him to have time with the kid. She ends up accusing him of assaulting the kid or abusing the child, which was total bullshit.
Yeah.
He was eventually cleared. I mean, the horror of this woman starts becoming very apparent.
I was thinking about adopting two kids from each continent around the world.
And then one
it's
night, the neighbor hears him screaming at like 1 a.m. He was murdered.
Really?
Somebody broke in the house, chased him around the house with a knife and stabbed him. There's blood all over the fucking
house.
That
sounds like a robbery. Someone broke into the
house. Yeah, it was dramatic overkill. I mean, it was just incredibly
so it's her.
Brutal.
Nice.
No. It's the state trooper.
Okay.
Everyone thinks it's a state trooper. Even his fellow state troopers are like, he came in here every morning talking about how much he hated this guy. He hated him.
So she poisoned
him. She filled him with hatred. He's really what he did. He abused my son. So, anyway, the cop that was assigned the case, who was a female, she looked. I thought it was a guy for like the first 10 minutes she was on. And she was wonderful. I don't mean to put her down. I really
except for
don't.
Her looks, but yeah.
Well, she wasn't ugly or anything. I just thought it was a dude.
Okay. Okay.
And that's out, just right? that. I mean, okay, I'm not making a comment or anything.
Okay.
She did have very short hair.
Strong jawline.
I kind of wish she could see her, to be honest.
Is she in transition? Well, do you have it?
I don't know. No, I watched it on demand.
Okay.
I don't know if I could ever find it.
Scissor me, Tim!
God, I'm doing a terrible job on this. She's told immediately, don't investigate the trooper. Let's look at all the other stuff, and then we'll look at the, because it's the police and the thin blue line and The DA.
So what?
The DA claimed that, you don't have enough on it. Let's look at this other stuff. And then I think someone accused him of, you're friendly with him. He's like, I don't even know him. And it turned out, oh, yeah, he knew him. He was in pictures with him
the
online.
DA?
Yeah, because the dead guy's family looked it up.
Wouldn't the district attorney want to clear a murder?
Yeah, you would think. But, I mean, that's how, when there's conflict of interest, it gets really funky. And eventually.
Don't you wish you had a friend that good who would.
I know. You know,
risk everything you don't go to jail for murder.
That's what I never understand.
He's clearly not a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's protecting. His friend sounds like a total asshole. He murdered somebody with a knife.
I guess it's the embarrassment for the police department.
But it's not. But that's not a reflection of the police department. It's a reflection.
Just cut everything open.
Well, our first thought was this lady that poisoned him, but it's also a reflection on him, on the one individual.
Anyway,
so what if he doesn't matter if he was a cop, doesn't matter if he cleaned carpets for a living.
I don't understand the DA. He wasn't really great friends with the guy. It didn't even make sense. Anyway, finally, after about a year, they send his nail clippings, the dead man's, because he probably fought back. And, what do you know? It's DNA. Probably this guy. Of all the people in the world.
Why didn't he just shoot him? I mean, he's probably a good shot. He's trained to shoot.
No, the state trooper?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think because he hated him so he wanted him to suffer, I guess. I don't know. It was just really strange. Oh, and then there was also a security camera with, hey, he's got if he drove there at, 12:50 or whatever, that black truck of his will show up on this camera because it's the only way. And there's a black truck. What do you know?
Oh, what a shock.
Yeah, it was just crazy. But it's
wow, that is a long story, but quite well told.
I know. I was trying to relate to Teresa Brennan getting this spectacular treatment and staying on the bench for all this time.
It makes sense because, they know the rules and they all work together.
And she, by the way, she got away scot-free.
That's what I was
going
to ask
you. She moved away. So, his family will never know their adopted grandchild or nephew or, who they loved.
And why?
And I don't understand, why can you accuse someone of abusing a child because you want custody, and then when they clear the person, then it's like, okay, you just go back to your life. I mean, that's a fucking horrible thing to do.
# believe women.
About child abuse? I don't know.
Had to be some kind of investigation.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything.
Well, now he's dead.
Guy, yeah, well, but at the time, they had just split up because she's fucking the state trooper murderer. And so she's mad because this kid is spending time with the dad.
Now, I do think the
cunt,
the guy that killed him, the state trooper, should have more time because I don't care how many people tell me. If you keep telling me what a terrible person Brandon is and all these terrible things he's doing and maybe he should die, I don't think I would go kill Brandon no matter how much I hate him because of what you tell me.
Thanks, Mark.
But you're welcome. But I don't know why Drew's saying all those things about you, though. But why?
What if we're lovers?
But what I don't understand is why she is off scot-free.
Because there wasn't enough evidence, I guess. They couldn't prove that she knew.
Why didn't he throw her on the bus?
He should have. He could have got himself a better deal. I don't know why he didn't. I think he thought he was going to win the trial, actually.
Well, so, that's the problem, because he wasn't charged for so long and investigated.
His attorneys talked a bunch of garbage. Oh, these cases are fascinating. I mean, I can't watch enough Datelines. I think I've watched every one of them.
I love asking my brother about cases after he probably.
No, I know. When people are lawyers or they're prosecutors or whatever, I always like hearing these stories. They always give you more than you would ever get to, which is the best part.
So, that's kind of what happened at the tailgate. I was talking to him because he was up from Virginia for the Michigan-Ohio State game, and I was talking about The Irishman, and I said, hey, I've got a legal question about The Irishman in the movie, spoiler alert, when they investigate Jimmy Hoffa, the character, De Niro's character, says that they brought everybody in and everyone pled the fifth,
mm-hmm.
right? Remember, he's sitting on the stand, he's like, what color is this pen? He's like, on the advice of counsel.
Yeah.
And when I was watching, I'm like, wait, what kind of trial is this? Who's being charged where all these guys are plead the fifth? This must just be a device for the movie.
Was it a grand jury?
That's what Dan said.
Okay.
It's probably a grand jury.
Great lawyer.
He goes, but it probably didn't happen anything like that. He goes, it probably was just a device to say that nobody would talk to investigators. And then he just
Dan.
And then he just went into like 15 minutes as to when you can plead the fifth, when you can't, which I'm asking, you might as well give it a TED Talk because I spaced out within the first 15 seconds. I couldn't follow it. I'm too dumb.
A lot of TED Talk email. More TED Talk.
Yeah, some on the boner line, too.
Oh, good. The Detroit School of Rock and Pop Music, they provide exciting and motivating music lessons and experiences with Detroit's finest professional musicians. They want to awaken the rock star in you. And they're looking for adults who want to learn to jam, want to learn to play an instrument, or maybe you want to play, but you have no one to jam with. Adult scholarships are available via the Dave Lonzo Memorial Scholarship Program. That's what they had that big fundraiser for. Gift certificates are also available, so you can give the gift of music this holiday season. Maybe your spouse loves playing music, but they
Rock and roll!
You know they'd love to play. They'd love to jam with people, but they don't seem to have time to give the gift certificate. They'll have to go. Playing music is always on someone's bucket list or one of their New Year's resolution. And as always, stop practicing, start performing, start rocking now! Call the Detroit School of Rock and Pop at 1-888-988-ROCK. Or visit them online at www.detroitschoolofrockandpop.com. And I tell you, there's a lot of kids, too.
We got enough rocks here, too. We could build a pretty decent shelter just using rocks.
Oh, we missed that drop for
so
long.
She's still so clueless.
Isn't she, though?
Yep.
Oh, I wanted to read that guy's email because it was... We got to talk about, you know, it's not a sports podcast, but man, these sports topics keep coming up. The latest being Johan Franzen, the Red Wing player, who had terrible concussions, and his career ended far prematurely because he was a good player. He didn't live up to the hype, so there were a lot of disappointed people in him, too.
Really sad story, was that like a year or 2 years ago, about how he spends his days?
In the dark.
Yeah.
And he can't, you know, he struggles with his family and playing with his kids because of, you know, he took a lot of abuse at the front of the net, a lot of concussions. He's probably got CTE.
You know, now, it's just the most horrible story.
I was talking to a buddy earlier today. It seems like the NHL is almost going through its own version of the Me Too movement, where a lot of these old guys and coaches are just getting in a lot of trouble. In the last, month we saw... Shut up, Blades of Steel. We saw Don Cherry get fired. We saw Bill Peters resign after he's an ex-Red Wings assistant coach. He resigned due to allegations of racial abuse. We also saw, obviously, Mike Babcock. He got fired, and then Mike Commodore has always been talking crap about him. Well, now Chelios.
The weird thing about Babcock is he gets fired, so now everyone just decides to just shit all over him.
And then the one today is Mark Crawford. He was famous. You guys would know him as the head coach of the Avalanche.
He was physically abusing players.
Well, that came from Sean Avery. I don't know how to take a lot of things from Sean Avery. But there might be some more allegations from other people. I don't know. But the big one, obviously locally, came from the Spittin' Chicklets. Those guys, it's like a Barstool podcast about...
Is it a Barstool show?
Yeah, I think it's associated with Barstool. It's got Ryan Whitney, former player. He's a defenseman. He won some cups. And Paul Bissonnette, who's a pretty popular guy. He was a fighter. They were talking to Chelios, and they asked him about Babcock, you know, because Commodore was talking about how he's been the biggest jerk forever. And they asked him, like, who did you see get abused verbally by Mike Babcock? Here was his response.
Johan Franzen. What he did to him at the end, you know, he was hurt at the time. I think it was a playoffs. We lost in Nashville. We got upset with Nashville. And some of the things he said to him on the bench, I don't know what he said to him behind closed doors one-on-one, but he blatantly, you know, verbally assaulted him during the game on the bench. And it got to the point where poor Johan, you know, no one really knowing that he was suffering with the concussion thing and the depression thing, he just broke down and had a nervous breakdown. Not only on the bench, but after the game in one of the rooms in Nashville. So that was probably the worst thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Johan Franzen had an interview in Sweden where he called Mike Babcock the worst person he's ever met.
Yeah, he got a little bit specific, but he said he cheats people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he cheats everyone. He's just, as far as preparing the team and being a good coach, everyone seems to agree he's a great coach, a great strategist, but just a horrible guy. And you know what's strange about that? I really, you know, with Bobby Knight and, you know, guys who clearly are just old school but not going to work today, or it's just not going to fly. Now I get into a guy, if you can live with the fact that there's no physical abuse, which Ken Holland seemed to have been aware of this at some point, and he came down and said, hey, look, if you don't want to play for Mike Babcock, we can trade you. Mm-hmm. See ya! Which is sort of an old-school response, too. But really, they couldn't do any better. He couldn't do any better as a person. I think it is hard to change these people.
Well, yeah, that's the way. And he sees, he sees the results, too, from his coaching.
And so is the, you know, being a nice person and winning 50% of the time, is that as good as winning 60% of the time being a complete asshole? Probably not. Not even to the fans. I don't think the fans give a fuck how nice a coach is, do they?
It's just really, I don't know, the story's really weird.
I think all the stories are weird. You know, the Atlanta Thrashers coach who said, and this is in 2010, was it, Brandon? He came in the locker room and the black player was playing music or...
Oh, Bill mm-hmm. Peters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he came in and said, hey, get that N-word music off.
Yeah.
And I think that was the main, wasn't that the main reference point to the story? It didn't sound like he just threw the N-word around every second. Maybe there's a lot more, and so he just quietly left instead of...
The Franzen thing is weird then that, to me at least, and I don't understand it. I don't know exactly what he said to him at this Nashville thing, but he said... Franzen said he still gets the shivers when he thinks about it.
Well, he's still suffering from a lot of that, you know.
Is that related? The mental abuse with his concussion?
He had concussions, but he also was suffering from depression. I think a lot of this stuck with him. He spent so much time in a dark room.
Yeah. Not from Mike Babcock. I mean, I think combining Babcock with the concussions is a little crazy. And saying it's PTSD... Mike Babcock, he's suffering from PTSD.
Say PTSD, that's...
I think they use that term. Yeah, I thought it was very weird.
Is that weird when someone has PTSD and other people that experience similar things don't? I don't know.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, maybe it's like PTSD, but again, can you completely blame Mike Babcock? Doesn't a lot of it have to do with the fact that he's depressed and his brain is not functioning properly?
I would think so.
I don't know. It's really sad. Over the whole thing is sad.
Is it really bad of me to want to know exactly what he said to him?
You know, there's one player. Who's the guy that's kept saying the coach told him he sucked, he's terrible, you're not worth a shit, you don't belong in the NHL or whatever, and he played for him for like 500 games or something?
Well, a lot of times you don't have a choice.
He sent him down. He told him to get stronger. He came up, he gained 20 pounds of muscle, and then he's like, what's this, the fucking Hulk? And started weighing him every day, making him lose weight.
That's abusive.
No, I know. It was crazy. But, you know, I forgot why I was thinking about this the other day, and I never got into it on the show. But I do remember, maybe it was AGT and trying to get people to quit.
There's new news on America's Got Talent. So dumb.
I can't wait. I was just going to say that there was a time when I worked in radio where I felt that someone was trying to make me quit.
Oh, yeah.
Because they owed me money, and they didn't want to pay me, and so they start being royal assholes to you, and it's really, you know that this is not how you're supposed to be treated in this job, and it was really, I have to say, it was very stressful, and I hated it and everything, but I never, you know, it happens.
So do you think Babcock was saying this to Franzen to get him to play? Like, after the concussion?
Well, maybe, because this was 2012. They were in the first round against the Nashville Predators. They ended up losing 4-1. It was a pretty bummer series. But prior to that, the year before, Franzen had only had 3 points. Now, this is coming off the last 3 previous postseasons where, you know, he was lighting the world on fire. He was scoring 13 goals and breaking records.
A nice contract that I think is still hitting on their cap.
Well,
I think
you're right. Yeah, and of course it was always
a lot of money too.
So maybe in Babcock's mind, he's thinking I could have kept Marian Hossa and I got you.
But that's not his decision, isn't that Holland's decision?
Well, Franzen also said that it wasn't until certain other guys left in 2010, 2011 that once those guys were gone, then he became the target.
So
prior to that, it had been other players.
This is a thing where Babcock needs to just shit on someone.
Yeah, yeah.
He just needs
kind of
target.
A
whipping boy.
But you can also say some guys think that's how you get more out of people. Is you yell at them all the time, and you intimidate them, and you make them concentrate harder because they don't want to make a mistake.
But you pick the guy that's had them. You got to pick those people. You got to pick the person that you can motivate, though, one who doesn't have a concussion.
Well, you got a guy who was underperforming. He was not what they thought he was going to be. He showed signs. Remember the playoffs when he played incredibly well? He had like 15 goals in 16 games.
Listen to the podcast.
I ran upstairs to get my dad a coke.
Well, yeah, in the back-to-back seasons that they went to the Stanley Cups in 08 and 09,
he scored
25 goals between those two.
He had enormous upside. And it wasn't always there. So, yeah. You know, I think coaches and, you know, this probably applies to AGT too. I think the great equalizer in a game like hockey at that level is they want to win. They'll play anyone to win. They're not going to sit a guy because he's Jewish or they want to win games.
Check your villains, baby.
And AGT or a TV show or, you know, movie makers, whatever, they want to make money. They want to get ratings. But I'm dying to know what's going on with AGT today.
One last thing on Franzen. Couldn't he have just, if it was that bad, or maybe he didn't realize it while he was in it until later, how bad the abuse was from Babcock. Couldn't he just left?
You know, I don't know what options he had.
He was sick.
It wasn't
obviously
tradable.
He was sick.
Yeah, he could have quit on his contract, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, he stuck around for, what, four more seasons after
He obviously
that?
Played yeah. too long. He took too many risks. And, his life is... been
mule.
Grossly affected by it.
Yeah. Isn't this really the perfect Red Wing story for the Wings right now?
Oh, they're so terrible.
I know. Like, it's
just a bad all around.
Oh. Okay. 5 seconds left. They're going to get the puck back to Murphy. Takes a shot. Oh, my God. It's not a sports podcast.
I want to say this about AGT. Can we drop Jay Leno from the story? I'm really so tired of seeing these giant pictures of Jay Leno. He was a guest judge. One day, he made one dumb joke. It got excised from the show. I can't believe Gabrielle Union wants to bring that up. It doesn't add anything to her story.
No, but it makes it look like she's
racist.
She's the woke the person Union. Attacking.
Oh, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Standing up for the people that were offended.
I'm going to use this word because some people were complaining about it today, and I thought, no, I think that word fits. From everything I've read about this, and I've read about as much as you can read.
We've read way too much about this.
I know. She sounds like a real pain in the ass. She sounds difficult.
Yeah. Didn't she break up Wade's marriage? Is that already broken up? I don't
that
know.
That wasn't very woke of her.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
I think that was the story.
Maybe they were already on the outs.
I think that was back
I don't know.
In time. I think Dwayne was done.
So the story today is guess who in the AGT realm is being criticized regarding Gabrielle Union?
Simon Cowell.
Terry Crews.
Terry Crews? Wait, he's like, black.
Not only that, he's a victim of Me Too.
He can't know. That's impossible. That doesn't work.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
I'm surprised the words can come out of someone's mouth.
What you doing, Terry?
I would think there'd be a force field that would force those words back into her mouth.
People are mad at Terry Crews because he didn't support Gabrielle Union enough.
Really?
Oh, you know.
Good he God. He went on Twitter. After she posted something, I don't know what she posted. He just wrote, "You're the best, Gabrielle. You will be missed." And then he just got attacked by fans because he didn't say enough. And okay. She supported you during your Me Too moment. Here's one. She was there for you, but this is the best you could do. Not surprised. Why are you not surprised? You know
Terry
Crews.
How well does this person know him?
Terry, this is all you've got? That's a shame. You know, he didn't have.
Well, maybe
he would have been better off saying nothing.
Maybe he didn't see all these things. He's a black guy working on the show. Why weren't they racist to him?
I feel like people are mad at him because he's still on the show. Like he didn't step down in support of her, which why would he? You can't say that to Terry Crews.
I guess it really
me too.
And it really took.
Great, by all accounts, he's a really great guy.
So
good person.
I guess Ariana Grande is a better person than Terry Crews, who knows nothing about the situation, but throws her support to Gabrielle Union.
Yeah.
By the way, what
donut?
Does your support mean if you throw it to people that you have no idea whether they're telling the truth or not? I don't think your support means much.
No, if you support everyone, you support no one.
Yeah, exactly.
But I really got mad in the story reading it because. It has fellow celebrities, including Ellen Pompeo and Deborah Messing.
Jesus.
Spoken up on her behalf. So stupid.
I have to say.
This chick is a horrible actor.
This is a dumb question. Does Deborah Messing still work at NBC?
Well, I think that show's done now, isn't it?
Okay.
Will and Grace. Do you know anyone that's ever seen Will and Grace?
No. No. I think
we
it's
do a Twitter
it
poll.
Might be a fictional show for all I know. Maybe
no, it's not because they at least run.
Is 4chan responsible for Will and Grace? Or at least the reboot?
I think it's still going.
Is it?
Yeah, it says it says it's presently on.
I approve of the Twitter poll.
I don't know anyone that has ever seen an episode of Will and Grace.
They're currently in season 11. They're 5 episodes deep. The last episode aired November 21st.
And it's really weird because the two main stars, Megan Mullally,
yeah,
seems everything I've seen her on I like, so why wouldn't I watch that show? And that Sean, what's the dude's name?
Is he gay in real life?
Hayes? Oh, yeah.
He is, okay.
And everything I've seen him in.
Is he gay on the show?
It's been really funny. Yeah, wasn't that the plot of the show?
Okay. He's gay. I don't know. I don't think this is a real show. I really don't.
I don't know.
I think you could find a plot on 4chan.
I think it's Eric McCormick that he's the one that plays a gay guy, too, but he's not gay.
No, he's not gay, but I think he plays is like the straight gay guy. Straight, I don't know.
Deborah Messing still on the show? Is my question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of?
Yes.
She's cashing checks from NBC for decades, as she points out. But yet, you know, oh my God, look at what my network's done again. Why don't you go to another network? Why don't you go work somewhere else?
Toxic culture.
Obviously, you haven't done much to fix it, and you're decades there.
I think it's done. I think they recorded it all, and it's already done. Wouldn't it be great if NBC just said, you know what, we're not going to do any more episodes? Although she's already paid, so.
And isn't she the tertiary star on the show?
She's Grace, right?
Oh, she is? I don't know. I don't think the show's ever aired, so
Brandon,
I wouldn't
who plays
know.
Grace?
I don't know.
Megan Mullally.
Well, you have it up, don't you? Don't you have the...
Why aren't you a Savannah on this show? But you're a Savannah on all NBC shows.
Grace is Deborah Messing, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so she's the main star.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, the roommates? Is that what that said?
Well, yeah, Will and Grace are.
Oh. Wait, so is this really just... come and knock on a door. What's that show?
Three's Company?
Isn't this kind of Three's Company-esque? Just,
yeah, let's...
But this time the guy's really gay?
Them. If it ever airs, they would sue them.
But Jack Tripper wasn't really gay. He was pretending to be gay. So Mr. Farley.
Yes.
Okay. So they took it another step and just made him gay for real.
Wait. What's the character's name?
Mr. Farley?
No.
Jack Tripper.
Okay. It's just funny.
He had to pretend to be gay.
Yeah, so I remember.
So he could share an apartment with Suzanne Summers in The Ugly One.
Yeah. Who was cute? She was cute at the time.
She's all yours.
At the time.
She's
I'll take
okay.
her at the time.
She's okay. I can't believe Mr. Farley never knew. No, he's just. Was it Farley?
Don Knotts, wasn't it? Was that Don? No.
No, did they have two? Did they have two landlords that didn't know?
Wait, wasn't Don Knotts on Three's Company?
Yeah, he was.
Was he?
Wasn't he the guy that didn't know?
Wait, didn't he have a different landlord later, though?
I don't know. You thinking of Mr. Roper?
Can you do another Twitter poll? Have we ever seen Three's Company?
That was Norman Fell.
Was Stanley Roper. Mr.
Okay.
Roper.
What was Don? Can someone please tell me what my brain is trying to remember about Don Knotts?
Norman Fell left in 79.
Yeah.
And Don Knotts joined the cast as the new building manager, Mr. Furley.
Okay.
So Mr. Roper and Mr. Furley. And he fooled them both.
I think Don Knotts' eyeballs were made very large on the show many times.
Well, wasn't he freaked out about all the gay stuff that
absolutely.
Jack had to attend to?
Yeah, he's a struggling actor with a thick.
Why don't they relaunch that show? That show was great. I think my mom hated it.
Oh, because it's too racy?
I think so.
Oh, how cute.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying the holidays are time for caring, sharing, giving gifts to the one we love. Oh, they are. Our friends and original studio sponsors at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com are doing just that, sharing the love, giving you the gift of employee pricing for everyone on most 2019 models in stock, like the new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition for $198 a month. Or if it's Jeeps, you could lease the new 20 Jeep Cherokee Limited All-Wheel Drive for just $189 a month. And if you're like Alan, you want to roll in the Mac Daddy of Jeeps, lease a new 20 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $255 a month.
The Mac Daddy!
Go celebrate the holidays with employee pricing for everyone. No discount code needed. Only at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. And then the paycheck doubling business. Yeah. That's mybookie.ag. bet on. God, you could have bet on a lot of things last night.
A lot of good basketball tonight to bet on, which by the time most people hear this, will be over.
Michigan State. Oh, yeah. Michigan State and Duke
That's the second weakest game of the night. No. Second most important game.
What's
number one? Michigan Louisville. Yeah, Michigan Louisville.
Louisville's number one.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Michigan's number four.
See, you could have been betting on this, or hopefully you made it. But hopefully your paycheck's already doubled today.
A rematch of one of the worst calls in college basketball championship history. Hashtag never forget 2013. Trey Burke.
What was it
called? Remember the block? Louisville was up by like three. And he got up and blocked the guy, and they called a foul on him.
Michigan denied their rightful place again.
I know. The world's against us.
You can go to mybookie.ag, and the promo code is Drew. That's mybookie.ag, promo code Drew. Yeah, there's so much to bet on. Hockey, NBA, college basketball. This is Big Ten championship this weekend, SEC championship, all the conference championships, and then the bowl games on mybookie.ag, promo code Drew. And by the way, read the rules for the promo code. Some of you, if you're old pros, you know how this works. If you're new to the system, like Lisa, you want to read the rules. And we put Patrick, Parlay Patrick.
Yeah, he needs to.
Oh, God, I love you, Lisa.
Hey, you mentioned the NBA. This is just, I know it's not a sports podcast.
Not a sports podcast.
Do you know who the worst team in the NBA is?
The Golden State Warriors.
Yes, what?
I know. It's weird.
Isn't it great?
It's crazy. Yeah, it is kind of great.
And like regarding gambling, Josh Shaw, the Arizona Cardinal, who is he suspended? Is that what it is? Yeah. He violated the NFL's gambling policy.
He's suspended through next year.
Yeah. It's been revealed what he gambled on, and one of it is a parlay, which.
What if he won?
No, he lost. But I was sitting there thinking, shouldn't NFL players be allowed to gamble on parlays? Because you have to win three bets. You can't affect three bets.
It's just messy. I honestly don't know why professional athletes would want to wade in. Why?
Well, they're dumb. And here's the best part of the story about Josh Shaw. Caesars contacted the Nevada Gaming Board on November 10th and the NFL after they found out that he had placed the bet, this parlay bet.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, second half parlay, so you know he's gambled before. So what happened was he was filling out an application to open up a line of credit with Caesars. You know, I guess you have to fill out an application.
This is ridiculous. It's so stupid, I can't even believe it.
What do you think he put down for his occupation?
NFL player.
Professional football player.
Well, there you go.
What a moron.
That's why he's in the trouble he's in.
Ugh.
So here's the subject of this email with social media and Amazon. Says, hey, Drew, always knew about the Drew and Mike Show, being number one show in Detroit, but worked a PM shift, didn't discover you guys till 105.1. Wow, a talk show, sports talk that only talks sports part of the time. Finally, an alternative to the boring 97.1 shows. Thought it was entertaining and funny. I loved it. It's unfortunate how it turned out. You're right. So many management people are clueless. Mm-hmm. The best thing was that I discovered the Drew and Mike Show from the past online. Of course, the podcast. And he likes the podcast. So he's listening to the December.
This guy.
I'm liking this guy too. I was listening to the December 2 show, and with some online research, I found out. I didn't realize he did research for this. I thought he was just exclaiming his opinion. The question as to whether social media are a platform or a publisher, and then he says if they're platforms, then by definition, they're companies that enable content and distribution of information. This would be similar to the phone company. If social networks are a platform, they're not responsible if the material is posted on their networks. You can't sue them for defamation if someone publishes libelous content. I completely understand what you're saying there, and I understand the distinction, and that's how they get around it. But my complaint is that some of the stuff that gets published and gets millions of views, you know, and the example I wrote back to him was Steven Spielberg is running a pedophile ring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They have a guy giving an interview telling you all about this pedophile ring, and Steven Spielberg has, you know, had sex with all these little children, and this has a couple million views. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why that's okay. I mean, if it gets up there, I realize you can't stop everything from getting up there, but it seems to me they do such a half-assed job.
So now you're talking about two different things. It's almost like the freedom of speech argument where people get mad about freedom of speech when it's not applicable. Well,
there,
to
there has to
business.
Be some, you have still to have some responsibility for what you say. If you're saying something in millions of people, I realize we're in new territory. This is not like a newspaper. It's not like a TV show. It's not like a you know, a news magazine.
Well,
it's different.
You do have responsibility. That's why you see people get fired from jobs for saying stuff that their employer doesn't like. It's not a freedom of speech.
Well, when
you're
not
being arrested for it.
I mean, people have
lost.
What
I was going to say, though, is it's not, you can't make, can you really make YouTube or Facebook a publisher?
I understand they're not a publisher per se.
But to your point,
but they're not, you know, to just act like, oh, this is just for little people's messages back and forth and the little groups get together. No, it's millions of people.
To your point, it's better business practice if they stop all this, if they cut this shit out by paying.
At least try.
By paying, you know, employees more to be content.
My opinion is they've invented this great thing and they just go, here it is.
Well, they
and
did.
We'll take the money. The money just comes pouring in, and they're almost, you know, just knocked out by all the money hitting them so fast.
They did, and
but
now
they
they're
bear no responsibility for what happens out there.
Well, now they're trying.
You know, we came up with this great idea. We're not responsible for what it does.
But there's no way to regulate. But,
I understand.
Well, there
that.
Is.
There, yeah, no. Yeah. Now, in my opinion, Steven Spielberg, shouldn't he be able to sue for libel?
The content creator.
Yeah, the guy doing the interview who's saying all these things.
Yeah.
I'm sure
that guy's got a lot of money.
No, he is dead.
Isaac Cappy?
But shouldn't Steven Spielberg be able to get the fucking thing down? I mean, is it Steven Spielberg's responsibility to stop millions of people from hearing that he's a pedophile? You know, this is just a small example.
Although,
I mean,
if he does, and he almost legitimizes it. It's like, what's Spielberg trying to hide?
It's a very complicated. I realize it's not easy.
Yeah,
but my feeling is that the platform, they don't. I mean, when a guy murders 50 people in Australia on Facebook, and the police department has to call the Facebook office and say, "Can you please take that down?" And Facebook takes, I think they took 20 minutes to get it down, which is crazy. And then they call them back 2 hours later. It's been shared all over the fucking place. Can you get the other ones down?
So, do you want to hear YouTube's response to it? Because that was part of the 60 Minutes piece. Did you watch the 60 Minutes piece?
I haven't watched it. I forgot about it.
It's really good.
I want to see it.
This past March, a white supremacist live streamed his killing of dozens of Muslims in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Now, if I was YouTube, the lady from YouTube right now, who, by the way, got her job.
Wait, was this on YouTube also?
The whole piece is on YouTube.
No, I mean, the 50 people was on YouTube?
You're kind of getting to what I was going to say. If I was the YouTube president, I would just be like, that started on Facebook. Just point
yeah, it,
did Facebook.
It did start on
it's
Facebook.
It's Facebook's
They started the virus.
He used Facebook. But so for
patient
the next 24
one.
Hours, copies of
Ground Zero
were uploaded on YouTube tens of thousands of times.
Who are these fucking people,
this
by the way?
This event was unique because it was
it's
really
hopeless.
Made
it.
For internet. Type of crisis. Every second there was a new upload. And so our teams around the world were working on this to remove this
nice
content.
Job.
We had just never.
They did a terrible job removing it then.
No,
you
it
might
was horrible.
Need some new teams around the world.
We're seeing such a huge volume.
I can only imagine when you became CEO of YouTube that you thought, oh, this is going to be so fun. It's people are uploading wonderful things. Like
after all, I got my job because I rented out my garage to Sergey Brin and Larry Page.
Wait, why would it be fun?
Well, because
funny cat
it's a pretty big job.
And look at
because
what
nobody
we're
thought
about
animals
here.
Would take over YouTube.
Are you worried?
It would just be
that
fun videos.
These dark things are beginning to define YouTube.
Can I ask you this question, though? When you think of YouTube, do you think of all that bullshit, or do you think?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't either.
So
but I know it goes on, and when I do read about it, or you know, when someone is attacked, I mean, look at what happens when everyone has a voice. I mean, don't we need to do something? I mean, I wish we had that committee that said, "No more voice for you. You've abused your voice.
Star
Fuck
Chamber.
You. Shut up." Yeah, Star Chamber.
Well, YouTube can do that. They can cancel.
I know, but they never do.
Well, she gets to that, too.
Okay.
I think it's incredibly important that we have a responsibility framework. And that has been my number one priority. We're removing content that violates our policies. We removed, just in the last quarter, 9 million videos.
You recently tightened your policy on hate
million.
Speech. Why'd you wait so long?
Well, you know, we have had hate policies since the very beginning of YouTube.
That was the question.
But pretty ineffective.
What we
Leslie.
Really had to do was we had to tighten our enforcement of that to make sure that we were catching everything. And we use a combination of people and machines.
Catching everything?
So Google as a whole has about 10,000 people that are focused on controversial content.
Sounds like you need about 100,000.
Very stressful to be looking at these questionable videos all the time. And that there's...
I've read about how stressful this is. And the reason it's so stressful is because there's only... Was she say 10,000 people?
Yeah.
And they are, I mean, they really, you know, if something escapes that's really bad, it's like, oh my God, what's going on? It's like, why are there only 10,000 people? Well, it's not like you don't make any money over there. You could hire a few more fucking people.
How much do you think they pay those people to?
They source it out.
I know.
I mean, that's...
I was telling Zeus, I said, I think I could do that. I think I could watch bad videos every day and just go, eh, get rid of that one.
I mean, Skin's got great people finding, you know, new parts of movies. They do a pretty damn good job.
I don't know why Leslie didn't ask her that. Like, why don't you hire more people?
Shut your fucking mouth!
They didn't talk about the outsourcing?
No, not at all.
I mean, really, it's bullshit.
To make sure that there aren't
Leslie, put a sock in it!
Are doing this work. Is that true?
It's a very important area for us.
Then hire more.
Real important.
We do everything we can to make sure that this is a good work environment. Our reviewers work 5 hours of the 8 hours reviewing videos. They have the opportunity to take a break whenever they want.
I also heard that these monitors, reviewers...
Damn it, Leslie, shut your pie hole!
They're beginning to buy the conspiracy theories.
I don't believe that.
And we work really hard with all of our reviewers to make sure
Stop saying you work hard!
So basically, every reviewer of YouTube videos is now anti-vaxxer white supremacist. I mean, that's just ludicrous. It's ludicrous
well,
to see.
It certainly doesn't hurt.
In that environment, you're reviewing videos that pop up in an office setting. Are you really going to start buying into it and then clicking on the next video? Because that's what they say. It takes multiple views of multiple videos in a row.
Finding the right services for them.
Well, this is the part where the president of YouTube decides to show Leslie Visser. Is it Visser? No, what's her name? Leslie Stahl. Some horrific videos. And I think she kind of gets off on showing her these videos.
There's two examples of how hard it is to determine what's too hateful or violent to stay on the site.
So it's a prisoner getting kicked in the face. And 60 Minutes shows.
It's a really hard video to watch.
Really hard.
And as you can see, these are prisoners in Syria. So you could look at it and say, well, should this be removed because it shows violence, it's graphic. But
trust me, it was viewed 10 million times before this conversation ever was even considered.
So she left it up.
They left it up, though.
Then
she acts like there were three views when they looked at it.
I mean, it's totally historical.
So then they pulled out a Hitler video.
On the History Channel? But she took it down. Why?
There is this word down here that you'll see, 1418.
1418 is code used by white supremacists to identify one another.
For every area, we work with experts, and we know all the hand signals, the
Why not just cancel that person's account, right? Well, instead of just leaving that
video. Because they'll open a new account.
Yeah, they'll just get a new one.
Well,
same thing with,
you
know, Facebook and Twitter.
I mean, shouldn't we just have everyone you're born, you get a YouTube account number?
Yeah, why not?
No, you know what happened? People will all start selling their YouTube accounts.
But the idea, though, that you would get all your Google stuff canceled is pretty frightening, at least for me.
Yeah.
My Google email, my YouTube video, my YouTube TV, that'd be horrifying. It'd be terrible.
But they don't want to cancel people who are clicking away on their product.
Freedom of speech.
But the private sector is not legally beholden to the First Amendment.
Leslie.
You're not operating under some freedom of speech
mandate. Hey, Leslie, shut your fucking mouth!
You get to pick.
You pause for a second.
We do.
Isn't calling this private really kind of, isn't that a stretch?
Why do you think it's a public utility?
No, it's not a public utility, but I mean, just the idea of private. Look at the fucking views! It's the whole world looking at this stuff. Because, you know...
But they're a publicly traded company.
I understand that, but you have regulations for television shows, stations, radio shows, newspapers. You can only own this many. La da da da. I mean, it's not the same as public TV.
Now you're talking about something else. Should they break up Google?
Facebook? No, that's not necessarily what I'm saying.
Well, they did Ma Bell. I mean, why not make it more competitive? And then there's more responsibility to do better. Right now, who's their competition?
It just annoys me that they imply that they're doing such a good job of this.
Porn.
They're not. doing a terrible job.
Doing a better job, but when you start from horrific and are now terrible.
Well, the idea is, hey, look at this great thing. And then everyone just pukes out whatever they want to put in there, and all of a sudden they go, oh, some of this isn't so cool.
Well,
I mean, it's absurd.
She doesn't.
But people grow up thinking that's okay, and they also grow up thinking, you know, I'll say something shitty about someone, even though I don't know that it's true, but I think it's true, and it is.
We talk about that all
time. Oh, that's not true.
We talk about that all the time, though, having difference of opinions. I mean, I don't want YouTube deciding what opinion
I don't think
is worthwhile.
No, I'm not saying difference of opinion. I mean, calling Steven Spielberg a pedophile, I hate to keep using the same example, but honestly, and Tom Hanks a pedophile.
I know.
And so on and so forth. And millions of people seeing that, someone needs to be responsible for that. And there's a million other things. I mean, these ISIS training videos, really? Yeah. And the fact that people, I'm amazed people get sucked in by it myself.
Good
it
looks for terrible. You, ISIS.
But
I think
there's a lot of benefits.
I just want to mention one more thing about what a great job they're doing is when one of their viewers informed them that, hey, there's a Ford commercial running in front of this white supremacist video. Really?
Yeah,
they don't. I mean, they don't even care more about their advertisers than that.
That's pretty bad.
Just sloppy. It's just slop, and I love it. I love the slop. I love a lot of it. But
I know you started the show by talking about how you.
No,
went
I love YouTube. I do. I love YouTube.
So the good and how far away
there isn't a great answer to the question, but there's certainly they could do better. They could do at least a little better.
Responsibility with freedom of speech.
But the private sector is not legally entitled to the First Amendment.
You're not operating under some freedom of speech mandate. You get to pick.
Yeah,
we do. But we think there's a lot of benefit from being able to hear from groups and underrepresented groups that otherwise we never would have heard from.
With name calling of Nazi or propagandist.
But that means hearing from people with odious messages about gays.
Mr. Lispy Queer from Vox.
Women.
Sex robot.
And immigrants.
The easiest way for Mexicans to not get shot and killed in Walmart?
Wojcicki explained that videos are allowed as long as they don't cause harm. But her definition of harm can seem narrow.
So if you're saying
don't hire
somebody because of their race, that's discrimination. And so that would be an example of something that would be a violation against our policies. Yeah,
but if you just said white people are superior by itself, that's okay.
And nothing else. Yes.
But that is harmful in that it gives white extremists a platform to indoctrinate.
We want a flourishing, healthy white race.
And what about medical?
I think we're doing pretty good already, my man.
Like turmeric can reverse
cancer. Are we doing
cancer.
That bad?
Bleach cures autism. Vaccines cause autism. Once you watch one of these, YouTube's algorithm.
Doesn't some of it go on the viewer, too, to look at that and go, bleach isn't going to cure autism?
Well, there's a lot of people looking, a lot of kids. And a lot of idiots.
They're dumb.
I mean, that is, you know, in the end, the problem is the fucking idiots. They ruin everything.
You're right.
It's like Twitter, you know, the trolls, these assholes who have nothing better to do. I can't believe these people that go on there and they just run around from person to person just being a trolling dick. And I wish, you know, their voice could be taken away. Everyone should not have a voice. If next time someone says everyone should have a voice, I may kill them.
Just start,
could
just
be take, somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Take Deborah Messing's voice away.
Please. So,
if you want to stay in the world of tech eventually, there is an update to the Chan Zuckerberg interview from CBS this morning. Part two is on today, whenever you want.
Yeah, let's take a break from this area for just a minute because I wanted to mention, this is exciting, somebody sent this to me. Actually, two or three people sent this to me. And I was kind of geeked. First, there was a new book called Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. And it's about it's really sort of trying to dig into just because nobody seems to know what it is he was doing. What exactly was he doing? Anyway, the author says that he really did run a blackmail enterprise to trap powerful people and politicians and sort of keep them in his web, which I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think anybody's going to find that shocking. He's also going to tell us that Clinton and Trump relationships were more extensive, which I mean, that is no surprise whatsoever to me that, you know, this goes as far as Adnan Khashoggi and Saudi Arabia, that Epstein is in deep in places that.
Well, they also
are pretty
say,
amazing.
But they also say he was an Israeli intelligence operative.
He said that. I think he said that.
Well, they're saying
and he was
that.
Trading arms. I mean, he was doing some really wild shit.
They're claiming that too. My only question is when I first saw the story, I was like, Skyhorse Publishing, huh? Is that a big publisher?
I don't know. I have no idea who are these publishing. Authors? I think it's their first book, actually.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what sounds I mean, like. One that, of those what does
YouTube,
that mean?
Sounds like one of these YouTube videos we're worried about.
Well, it may well be, but
it didn't seem like
but
there
is,
was some conspiracy in there.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a lot of conspiracy in it.
Well, now wait a second. This guy's dug up police interviews with teen girls from the 1990s involving Jeff Epstein, which have been buried and hidden away for a long time. As far as Clinton and Trump and the relationships, that information is also available. It's just you have to really dig to find this stuff. Alex Acosta. And he also talked to a number of loose-lipped Epstein employees, his chauffeur, his housekeeper, his security people, which he had many, many, many. And these people notice a lot of stuff.
Wouldn't you feel better, though, if it was by, like, Michael Isikoff?
Well,
it was by a big publisher.
I'm really less interested in the book and more I am interested in the book, and I'm interested to see a review of it, or two or three. But there was some other information today that
this guy that wrote it, by the way.
Yeah.
Make sure this is the same guy. Sounds like this guy, was the chief content officer at American Media.
Okay.
Oversees Us Weekly, OK, Star, In Touch, Glow. I bet you he's a good writer.
Well,
National Enquirer, Radar Online.
Those places, first of all, are very legally vetted.
Yeah, no. I'm not
saying. Very important,
saying.
Something like that.
What caught my attention.
I don't care, as long as it's entertaining.
And I only read a brief synopsis, so I have no idea what's really in the book. But they mention, once again, that Jeffrey Epstein is talking about being in the intelligence community, being a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on his Wikipedia page. He said that many times in the past.
It's on his Wikipedia.
It is, I swear to God. Like, that's what Acosta said in Florida back in 2005, was it?
Yeah.
When he was getting all, all that shit in Florida. Acosta had told somebody, hey, this guy's in the intelligence community. I don't think we should touch this. And that kind of led to his sweetheart deal. Now, was Epstein involved in any kind of espionage for the government? Maybe, spying on London since he was best friends with Prince Andrew or something. But this one also says Ghislaine was possibly a spy as well. So
she's Robert Maxwell's daughter.
When did Epstein have time to spy? He's so busy, getting on with chicks five times a day and then blackmailing other people.
Honestly, you can be in the intelligence community and you can know all kinds of secrets and you can be somewhat protected by that. But once you start molesting a few hundred 14-year-olds and 16-year-olds, we really don't give a fuck about that. You go to jail.
We don't
leave you out there molesting dozens and dozens of more girls.
I think that might put his spy career in jeopardy.
Yeah, I think they might take that away from him. But the security people are also talking from Zorro Ranch in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, this part.
And this guy says that Bill Clinton, that Epstein, and we know this from some of the girls too, that he bragged about Bill Clinton. And this guy said that, in his opinion, Clinton was Epstein's closest celebrity friend, that he stayed at Zorro Ranch many, many times.
I believe
that. Sometimes with Hillary and Chelsea.
What?
Yeah, he's got an old 1800s village that's, I guess, a little ways from the ranch itself.
Sounds awful.
I was so bored reading it.
Oh, my God. Could you think of anything worse than having to vacation there with Hillary and Chelsea?
Not really.
Was this the ranch where he bought all the property around it, basically?
Yeah,
so
he had
so secluded.
He had a gazillion acres.
That's probably why Clinton liked it, too.
So, but it didn't have enough security. So this is one of the IT guys that was hired and security guys. And he said that, that Clinton and his wife and daughter hung out there. And Clinton also has been asked about this and was asked again because this just came out. And they said, refer back to the statement made over the summer, which is that he flew with him a few times and he went to the New York residence once. It's kind of amazing that Clinton hasn't been taken to any kind of task whatsoever for any of this.
Yeah.
And whether he will be or not, I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
I'm surprised, as soon as Prince Andrew did that interview, people started pulling money from,
That was money, Prince Pal or whatever.
Yeah, his Shark Tank thing.
Yeah, total bullshit.
So when is that going to start happening with the Clinton Foundation where people pull money? Although Prince Andrew seems more egregious than anything connected to Bill.
Yeah, I don't know what Bill Clinton was up to. I really don't. But I have a hard time believing that Epstein was just such a great guy. Or he had, or his scientific friends were so important.
I think it was more about money.
It probably was.
Knowing the Clintons, it's always about money.
I know. No, they seemed like just gluttons for money, no matter what it is. Remember when they were leaving the White House and all these people were buying their furniture?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the fuck? I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? That sounds so lame. Just low rent.
How much is enough money for him, too?
There is no amount.
Did you see the update on the Virginia Jeffrey interview over there?
I did. I was just going to mention that Chelsea Clinton sometimes reminds me of Hunter Biden in that she sits on these boards that meet every other month and she's paid some insane amount of money. And you know she does not have any qualifications to be on these boards. Now, in her defense...
She has 3 degrees, doesn't she?
Well,
don't get me wrong.
Her working experience?
No,
how much
zero
business
working...
experience does she have?
Remember, she's on the
zero.
Board of the School of American Ballet, the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative, the Common Sense Media, Weill Cornell Medical College, and the IAC Interactive Corporation.
No, and she was a reporter at ABC News. She went straight to the network. Isn't that amazing?
She's incredibly entitled because of her name and who she is.
But she doesn't get busted for smoking crack in strip clubs, and she doesn't deny paternity of children that she has, which would be hard to do if you had the kid. But, I mean, she's certainly on another level. At least she's defendable.
Yeah.
Because she's not a complete fuck-off.
It just looks bad, though.
No, it looks terrible. It's bullshit.
Offspring, yeah.
And Virginia Roberts, her interview finally aired in the UK. And, I'm not sure. What's the reaction in the UK to her interview? His interview was just horrible. But I didn't know if anybody... If they felt she was a powerful presence, if she added to the problem for Prince Andrew, I'm hoping she did. I'm assuming she will.
Let me look. I don't know. Because she really didn't say anything
terribly
new. There were little things here and there. She seems far more powerful than she has in other interviews.
Yeah, her voice is stronger. I would entirely agree.
Yeah, and she seems like she's fighting more now. But
there's some other things, too. Like there's now another witness. There's a witness to Prince Andrew being at Tramps, dancing sweatily.
And there's also a little bit of a paper trail of communication. Because remember, Prince Andrew's like, I don't know who this chick is. That's not a real picture. I wasn't in it with her. But now we know there's an email between him and Ghislaine. Where he's, I think, in 2015, where he wants information on this Virginia Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And who she is, and of course.
How about that?
Ghislaine, I have some info. Call me when you have a moment.
It's obvious. It's just ridiculous. And this guy has not, he can't have a royal wedding for his daughter. No, come on. It's got to go further than that. I mean, this is ridiculous. First of all, he's such an entitled creep. Yeah. He's entitled to fly around on private jets and nail chicks all over the world. That's all he's been doing. He was called Randy Andy before any of this stuff came up.
Did you know his castle or cottage that he lives in? Do you know it's rented?
Yeah, for 20. What is it meant for? Something like $80,000 a month or something?
The royals don't own it. Some other fancy pants lord owns it. Now they're like, let's boot him out.
Please.
That'd be great. Just
I know. No, I want this guy just reduced to nothing. I want him to be homeless. Wouldn't that be great if he was homeless, actually asking people for money? Got any spare change?
Can I have some old, please?
I want him and Fergie homeless. Give him an old Vega or something to live in.
With each other. They have to be with each other, too. You know they'd be begging outside the palace, too.
No, it's just...
They'd sell all their crap first that they would steal from
they're
the
just privilege on
royals.
Steroids.
They really are.
That's such an overused word, but I mean, that's just... It's just disgusting.
And Trump's over in London, and he was asked about Prince Andrew today.
He doesn't even know him!
Yeah, no. And of course, there's a picture of him and Prince
Andrew. Like 10 pictures of them together. When they're walking, it looks suspiciously like the Epstein picture, too.
He also described the Jeffrey Epstein thing as a, quote, tough story. What? And then he asked Macron if he wants more ISIS fighters in France. What is he doing over there? Is he just over there to rattle?
I have no idea.
Fuck with NATO?
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, Lord.
He's going to see his girl in Germany, too.
Oh, Angela?
Yeah.
I think he's already said something shitty to her too there, didn't he?
Well,
not the queen today, though. Shook the queen's hand.
Wait, who, I thought he said something shitty about, oh, France is behind in, wait, somebody's behind in their NATO feet?
They all are. And he is you know, he is correct French. About that.
That's, I don't understand, by the way, why people, oh my God, that's, can you believe how rude that is? No, it's not rude. I think it's typical U.S. policy to not bother anyone. Oh, well, just make it. Oh, man, it was money. And that's why when I came down here, I was pissed off because I was watching a story about these military wives who are saying that there's mold in their homes, that their families are getting sick, and the military is doing nothing about it. It's like, what percentage of the budget is the military? I mean, the military budget is insane.
Yeah, well, the Defense Department.
Yeah, the Defense Department. It's positively insane. It's so much money. And yet we have these shit veteran hospitals and these shit living spaces. Yeah. And I'm not saying they should be living in luxury.
Are they the second biggest government, what's the word I'm looking for?
Government program or department?
Yeah.
It's huge. Department of Defense. Yeah, it's gigantic.
$686.1 billion just for 2019 alone.
And they can't get these places without mold?
No.
For people living? Mm-hmm. Really?
Ugh. Why don't they just let someone...
It just goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, that's what drives me crazy sometimes is, why do we talk about the same shit over and over and over and over? Oh, teachers aren't paid enough. Huh? Teachers aren't paid enough. Teachers aren't paid enough. Oh, inner city schools suck.
Nothing
it's
ever
terrible.
Changes.
I know. Nothing ever happens. Same old bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
We have a boner line.
We do have a boner line.
How long is the boner line today?
It's pretty long. I think it's like 5 or 6 minutes. But I was hoping that Maz would be here for it, but it seems like he...
Will he be happy with it or unhappy with it?
Well, there's just a bunch of Maz material I was hoping he'd be able to respond to.
That was not the question.
Is he going to be telling people to butt out?
Yeah, I think he will.
I'm glad he's not here then.
All right, you want
to
give it a spin?
He'll never listen to it otherwise. It's like Will and Grace to him. As Will and Grace is to the rest of the world, our show is to him.
And by the end of the I'll check on that poll and see if there's any comments.
This is weird. I wish he would listen to the show. I think it's a good show.
I don't understand it.
All right, here's the boner line.
It's not targeted to him at all.
Number 72.
Drew, Mark, Maz, Trudy, Brandon, Zeus.
Hey, boners. I like Christopher Cross. Everyone likes Christopher Cross.
Shit, yeah.
I don't mind Christopher Cross. I don't think I've ever sided with Maz, but I don't have any of his collection, but I can't say that I cringe with it. Pops up on Spotify or something. Secondly, you guys are talking about Wheel of Fortune. I dated this girl years ago. She was on Wheel of Fortune. She got to the final puzzle, didn't win, blah, blah, blah. I won a trip to Barbados. I got to go, ooh.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, usually I have Tom Mazaway's back.
Shit, yeah.
But I'm listening to Tom Mazaway try to pass off fake news about Amazon only using Mercedes delivery trucks as I am at a red light right behind an Amazon Dodge Ram. So, Tom, you are fake news.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, this is a correction for whoever the fuck said that all the blue Amazon vans were Mercedes Benz. I was just going down the road and I passed one blue Amazon van. It said Ram on the front. It was a Ram. So I think that was Maz. Yeah, you're fucking wrong.
Damn it.
Hey, Maz, I took my friend at Beaumont Hospital in Southfield the other day, and I noticed that they had a sweet little gift shop. So I thought maybe if you didn't find what you were looking for at the airport, that you could hustle on over there and do some Christmas shopping.
It's so good. So damn good.
There's a lot of different things I could say. First thing, them hiring a female batting coach is probably the best thing they could do because we're probably the only gender that knows how to swing a bat the right way.
Wrong.
Second off, if you guys give my fiance one more fucking drop to play on repeat, I'm going to lose my shit.
Oh,
third,
yeah,
if you could get back to me and my fiance on officiating for our wedding, we would totally appreciate it. Thank you.
What? No one gives a shit.
Sorry, I got to side with Brandon on this one. Green Day sucks balls.
Yeah, that's right.
Green Day thing, man. You just couldn't accept them after warning? I was with them since their first Lookout album. I was actually disappointed when they came out with Dookie because they went major label. I'm with Mark on this. They grew as a band. Yeah, Green Day fucking rules, dude. You can go warning yourself out of here.
Love
the show. Big fan. And then I hear the story about Brandon
throwing the American Idiot CD out the window after listening to it once. That was so hardcore. That was the gayest thing I've ever heard.
You freaking bully, you coward.
Heidi Klum? Really, Drew? Heidi Klum? Klum?
Fuck. Doesn't he talk funny?
I gotta call out the boner who called the boner line about not being on the boner line enough. What an anchor, dude. It's got to be a millennial because, a boomer wouldn't care, and I'm Gen X, so I don't even care.
Nobody cares.
Millennial here.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
And all I hear from boomers is, if you don't like the money you're making, then get a better job. Well, I followed my boomer dad's lead and took more college classes than he did to get into drafting and design with Chrysler, and they're starting me at a slightly above poverty wage. I'll never max out at the rate he's earning now. So just tell me what I did wrong. I did everything that my boomer dad did. I'll never make the kind of money he is. Just tell me what I did wrong. We'll go from there. And you can tell me, okay, millennial, because I'm telling you, okay, boomer.
Life can be so unfair.
I just want to let you guys know, do not stop the fart stuff. I don't care what these guys say about their wives and their girlfriends. That is the funniest shit. And I laughed my ass off on my way to work. I think it's hysterical, whether it's men or women farting. I don't care. Don't stop it.
How do you like the smell? Is it good?
Oh, hey, I need Brandon's parents' address. I found a couple of homeless people in town, and he said they're looking for somewhere to stay. So if you get that address back to me, maybe put it on the air or whatever like that.
Bed to be shared with owners. Shitter down hall.
You're not alone. We brought a homeless guy in. My mom did. My dad was furious. It didn't last long because my dad was like, no, we can't have just some random stranger in the house. My mom found a homeless dude that was hanging out at one of the gas stations nearby. And, oh, well, we'll take you in. This dude was in his probably 40s. I don't really remember. He didn't last very long, week or two. Yikes, dude. What's wrong with people?
This guy loves the homeless so much, he should marry him, right?
Hey, just to let you know that the Irishman sucked. Al Pacino looks like he's wearing a rubber mask the entire show. You guys' opinions of movies is terrible.
Is it in 3D?
Hey, Drew, I'm totally with you on the Irishman, De Niro, being distractingly too old physically to play a 30-whatever-year-old beating the shit out of some kid. Pesci doesn't get an Oscar for this. I don't know like what to tell you with life anymore. I will resign from the species myself.
Not interested.
I hate TED Talk. I was forced to go to the TED Talks this past summer at TEDx Detroit. Literally, 75% of them were just advertisements or sales pitches for a given person, company, technology, or pile of bull crap they were trying to sell. TED Talk sucks.
No, I'm not going to any depressing shit like that.
Drew, you couldn't be more spot on with these TED Talks, man. That's all we need is another person lecturing me about something. But about a year and a half ago, you guys had a guy on that was going to eat pizza every day for a year. That guy's giving a TED Talk.
Pig snot. Oh, pizza.
Keep it stiff, boners.
That's it.
Is that true? The pizza guy's giving a TED Talk? I kind of want to see that
Is someone going to make people go to that? That's my question. Does any people really go to TED Talks because they go, oh, there's a TED Talk on, and they go? Isn't it mostly people making people go? Well,
so I was looking,
mostly.
At,
not
I was
all.
Looking at the Detroit one, and you could buy tickets to it. I don't know.
People would pay?
There were some,
I can't believe
some very dubious people on that list, too.
I know some of the idiots who can put together a speech and get paid for this stuff. Like Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
At Florida for 50 grand. Really?
Has he done a TED Talk?
Probably.
Someone sent one about Mark Ronson, you know, the producer.
He gave a TED Talk?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I like him. He's a good producer. I'd like
can
to
it just be a speech or just a Mark talk?
I'd like to hear what he has to say and see how, because he would show how he does his stuff. Boy. Didn't last very long watching it.
Oh, really?
I'd love to watch that guy speak.
He did one on how sampling transformed music.
I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because it's just one person lecturing, so it doesn't matter what they're saying.
Well, I wish there would be backlash against TED Talks. I wish companies would be
starting
forced
a movement
to know that their employees do not want to be forced to go to stupid TED Talks. And they shouldn't, you know, instead of paying. Look at all the money these companies spend on this stupid shit. Give it to your employees. They'd rather have it. And they don't want to go to the stupid TED Talks. So knock it off. There's backlash also. I was so happy to see this. I mean, this really just plied my brain with dopamine today when I found out that there's backlash. In fact, there's going to be a Michigan bill about emotional pets, phony emotional pets.
Oh, good.
That people are taking to class with them, taking them on planes with them. I mean, there's professors at, I can't remember if it was Michigan or Michigan State. I want to say it was Michigan, who were pissed because there's so many dogs in their class. Yeah. Now, you mean to tell me there's really that many students at the University of Michigan who are, you know, obviously smart enough to go through a good college and they need a fucking dog by their side every time they go to a class? Really?
I think it's pretty soft. Ridiculous. I think it's pretty weak.
No, they just want their dog.
Well, now that I can understand. Why don't they just say that?
I love Layla.
I think someone got...
I wanted to take her to... wanted to take her to the restaurant. I figured, I'm a partner. I can take her. And then I realized, I'm turning into Paris Hilton.
Is that a health code violation?
My dog everywhere.
Did you see the new... what do they call them? What are they called? The animal?
Emotional
animals? Support animal,
yeah.
That someone took on a plane. They took a horse on a plane. A miniature
how
horse.
Come on.
Oh, a mini horse?
How stupid is this?
It's in the news. Google it.
I saw it. No, it's so absolutely stupid. And by the way, some people claim, oh, this fish is my emotional. what? Come on. Who makes up these terms anyway?
One of the comments, though, I thought that was really funny, was someone's like, I can't eat peanuts on a plane anymore, but someone can bring their horse. What?
Taking a dog to class, and there's more than one person in the class that has to have the... Oh, please. Maz is on site.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, man.
I was in the isolation booth, obviously.
Apparently.
Thanks for having me.
You missed the boner line.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad.
You took a little bit of a pounding on one thing, and I want to know your source on why you think all Amazon trucks are Mercedes-Benz.
Because I saw a lot of them, and they were all Sprinters, and they're all the ones I saw were Mercedes-Benz Sprinters.
Apparently not all.
Not all? Okay. No.
What a bodacious statement based on what you've seen.
Well, I figured if there's a couple of Mercedes ones out there, they're all Mercedes ones. Why would I have it different? I mean, if you got a fleet vehicle, isn't that your fleet vehicle?
Did you consider maybe trying to verify this information?
No. They do have a partnership.
Puke it out to our audience.
Now, Amazon and Mercedes, they do have a partnership, but I believe Dodge must as well.
I thought my, I saw a commercial on them even.
Really?
Yeah. I saw a commercial on them.
Okay.
I'm just saying. They were Mercedes.
I don't want to get too far off track, but how is it working out? Is Jeter back at home?
Yes, he came back home.
How's the new system with the laminated rules going?
The laminated rules are doing well so far, about 4 days in. You know, we did have company from Jersey, so we had to, the rules weren't counting then.
What?
You know, my nieces are here. The kids are having a good time. I had to let it go a little.
Well, what do you mean? When you're having a good time, do you not have to pay the mortgage?
Well, yeah, you do. Of course you do.
I mean, is it too much to ask to follow the dog rules and let the dog out when it has to?
The dog rules were good, but all the other rules, like, doing the laundry and doing this.
Oh.
That's also on the lamination.
No clothes
really?
Got dirty?
Yes.
No clothes got dirty?
Oh, my God. They had, like, 6 loads worth.
Wait, those are all on the new laminated rules?
Because they, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, this sounds like a major uprising.
It's a major upheaval at the Mazaways.
Do you think it'll work?
I know all the rules.
Do I think it'll work?
Yes.
Probably not. No. It might hold for a couple of weeks.
What has the best chance of all things on the laminated rule list? What has the best chance of working? Does Jeter have a chance?
I think Jeter's got a real good chance of hanging in the house and not crapping in the house anymore. I got a lot of heat, even on Facebook and stuff, about not training my dog properly. We trained Jeter properly. I know how to take care of animals. I'm a dog guy.
It's not hard. What's hard about letting a dog out?
Nothing.
You have
nothing.
To do
backyard
it.
Is contained?
Right. Yeah. Of course. He does find his way out a little sometimes. Okay. We've closed up a couple of holes around the fence lines.
Canine, as they call. I call it a dog.
Yeah, so you need something that's laminated to tell the kids to let the dog outside enough when all they have to do is open and close the door.
Last night I was driving. I came back home and pulling in the driveway, and Maddie was just coming back from a walk with Jeter. So these things are starting to take over.
Lamination's a huge factor.
Since they're on the phone all the time, why not just make an alarm that pops up on their phone to let Jeets out?
That's a great idea, Mark.
They do. It doesn't have to be done at the same time.
That's like an alarm clock.
Can you get Kathy? Think Kathy will laminate that idea?
I think she could add an addendum. You know, something that you could hang off the lamination. Like okay. Punch a couple of holes.
The talented dog.
Put the little lamination on there.
Oh, so much. So much to think about.
Our Twitter poll, by the way. Wow. This might be the closest Twitter poll we've ever done.
Really?
And I'll ask you the question, Tom. Have you ever seen an episode of Will and Grace?
No. My wife did like it.
Do you know? Okay, so you know someone that liked it.
Yeah,
okay.
My wife liked it.
51% are at yes.
You know who I do like?
But they don't think it ever aired?
No. Do you know anyone that has ever seen an episode of Will and Grace?
Oh, okay. 51%. Because I wasn't even sure if it's ever been on TV. I thought maybe it was just 4chan made it up.
Wasn't it in the must-see TV list back in the day? Wasn't it on Thursdays?
Oh, maybe the later years of must-see TV.
I thought it was on a Thursday.
Okay. Most people are saying their wife, so... There you go, Tommy.
Deborah Messing is pretty hot, and Megan Mullally's got a nice rack.
That's true.
I like Megan.
You're right about
Megan Mullally's great. I have no problem with her.
I dig her.
Deborah Messing
doesn't have a big rack, but she's hot. She's a redhead.
She's all yours.
I'm trying to find my the rest of the
email. She'll support you. Reading. We know that.
She will.
Sent file. Where's this crazy?
What are you looking for?
The guy that sent, and it was an email about... platform versus publisher.
Oh, yeah. I have his email number if you want me to give it to you.
You know what I'll do since I can't find it? I'll just mention that his second part was about Amazon. Here it is. Okay. That Amazon...
You've got mail.
because of Amazon's all their employees, that there's a lot of taxes generated by Amazon.
It's true.
And even if they don't pay any income tax, they're still, you know... Okay, I understand that. But that doesn't mean... that they shouldn't pay any income tax, that the company's revenues should be untaxed. And I know they took a huge tax break last year. The year before, I don't know what happened. The last 2 years, they've paid very little taxes
relative
to their revenue.
It's a big loophole in how they reinvest.
But it doesn't mean I'm saying Amazon has no value or there are no taxes generated by Amazon. Of course there are. There's lots of, and you know, there's those payroll taxes.
They should kick in something.
They absolutely should.
And
but it's not their fault. It's the federal government's fault.
Yeah, it's not Amazon's fault.
We let a lot of people off the hook.
Let's see, in 2017... Well,
you know, that's funny. Amazon does get the brunt of it, but there's a lot of corporations, including, I think, two of the big three didn't pay any federal taxes.
Hmm. Oh, is that the case?
Netflix paid zero federal taxes.
Well, they got the Irishman on.
That's just
cost a lot of money.
Bullshit. It's just total bullshit.
Right, Netflix, Amazon, Chevron, Delta,
Eli Lilly,
GM, Halliburton,
Delta,
Goodyear,
IBM.
So yeah, it's not. But Amazon is
U.S. Steel, Whirlpool.
Very visible.
The other thing he mentions about Amazon is, and this isn't the entire story here. It seems to me that Amazon is the same boat as McDonald's when it comes to wages. They pay what the market bears for the skill set of the job.
Sure.
Except that they're really, if you notice McDonald's, you know, to get over the fryer and back isn't all that much work. The Amazon people have these quotas where they have to do a lot of running around, a lot of moving shit around. It's a physically demanding job. Or it sounds like, maybe I'm reading complete bullshit because I'm reading about the injury rates.
But there is something
so
to be
high.
Said for what the market will bear. I mean, they can
no,
get away.
I agree.
Anything
with that.
They probably pay more than the market would bear.
It sounds like nonstop work at Amazon. Nonstop.
Yeah, no, it does. It sounds like I knew I could pull you in on this one, Naz.
Easily. I mean, Jesus.
No, they made it. If you read about the injury, the fact that they have so many more injuries per 100 people per year than other companies, which they acknowledge the number is correct. They kind of argue with it based on, you know, we don't like people to come back too soon. And
fake.
Yeah, I thought that was fake, too. The people quoted in the story really make it sound like they're surveilled. And if you're fluffing off at all, somebody's going to notice. And so it really sounded a little Big Brother-ish.
Sounds like Mike Babcock works there or something. Sounds like Babcock's a supervisor.
Have you ever worked in like a warehouse like that?
I have not.
It's crazy because there's so much dust that accumulates. And it's to the point where, because I worked in warehouses for a while, and every day you'd come home and you'd just have like these brown, like black boogers and stuff like that just because from breathing that stuff in. And
it's a drag. It's not a great job. I mean, it's hard work. And the fact that Amazon pays no income tax, and I don't expect that Amazon's ever going to pay a lot of income tax. Maybe I'm wrong about that. They just got a big corporate tax cut, which many did. I just thought it'd be nice if their employees were well compensated because
they're
so fucking profitable. I mean, they are extreme. It's a great business. But for it to all just pour into Bezos's pocket and you know, have employees running
especially
around.
Especially since Amazon is, you know, instrumental in closing so many other businesses down.
Well, they don't sound like a nice company at all.
To the emailer's point, should McDonald's pay more than what
they pay? He doesn't think so at all. And I'm...
I'm asking your opinion. Because he made that comparison.
Well, I don't think it's quite the same. They're comparable, I guess, but look at Amazon's profits.
I think the big difference is there's a lot more competition McDonald's faces every day.
Yeah, the profit margin's much lower.
Yeah.
McDonald's also employs a lot of, you know, youngsters, a lot of high schooler kids. You don't see too many young kids that are working in these facilities.
Why not?
Are they allowed?
Because they're generally, they're shift work. I don't know if there's a ton of part-time work for Amazon employees since they have to crank out so many packages.
Yeah, it's
kid can't work midnight hours. You know, the kid's got only a certain amount of hours that they can work.
Well, they only open at midnight in the warehouse.
Well, no, they have how many shifts?
I don't know.
Three shifts. I'm positive that they're a full three-shift operation.
No, honestly, I would love to see McDonald's workers make more. I don't think you pay them stupid money, but if they got a raise, I'm not going to be upset about it.
I think your point is more like you don't want them to be forced to pay more than what they're paying.
I think
it would be nice. It'd be an interesting business decision, unless you own stock in the company.
But the argument is, if you're working a job, and I don't know what it would be, whether it's driving a forklift, a high-low, or maybe working in a warehouse, you maybe feel like you're doing a harder work and should be paid more money than someone who's
Let me explain what I mean. First of all, if you're part of a company that is so incredibly profitable, I mean, you could make it so people are actually happy to be there and they feel like they're, part of a first. And granted, a lot of it has to do with Bezos. Of course it does. It's just that, I was reading about Elizabeth Warren and her text on billionaires and how she wants, these very small group of people to pay a lot of money to pay for a lot of stuff. And so anyway, somebody was kind of breaking down. The billionaires, are they really, do we really have to ask them to do much? In a lot of cases, no, you don't. Like Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates gives billions. Ted Turner, there was a long, long list. Anyway, they get to Bezos and they said, Jeff Bezos is one of the most uncharitable, super rich people out there. And he's the richest.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't give a lot of money.
He did just give his wife $69 billion.
That's true. I mean, compared to you or me or anybody else who's probably listening right now, Jeff Bezos gives a ton of money to charity, but he's not compared to his peers who make less than he does. So, I wish if he's not going to give a lot of money to charity, and he's not going to pay any fucking taxes, I wish he paid his people more. That's all. I'm not saying he has to.
Aren't they starting at 16 an hour?
15. Wow, you sound huffy about that.
No, not at all. No, it's backbreaking work. I wouldn't take that job.
It would be nice.
And I don't, maybe he's got a bunch of shitbag employees. Maybe they just hire the low of the low, and they pay him a lot and hope that they... I don't know. It's hard when you don't know everything about this, but I'm just looking at the part of the picture that I know. And I respect this guy's email, too. I think he makes some great points. It's a great topic.
Well,
Bezos answered that question. Somebody asked him about it recently.
Oh, I'm excited
to hear
this.
I got a better idea. No fucking way.
But Bezos has the opportunity.
That's probably his answer.
He has the opportunity to make this job one of those type of gigs where... if people get it, they hang on to it, because if you take care of your employees, they're going to take care of you. And it just seems like
those warehouse, I don't know, it seems like kind of a transient job where you're in and out or leave.
Maybe you could make it a less transient. I don't know. It's not really my.
He does have shareholders.
How about letting people go and have their bathroom break without docking them off the lunch?
Sure.
Their lunch break.
Yeah, no,
how about doing shit like
there's
that?
There's some real.
If you read a lot of ugly shit, you'll read a lot of people
who think Amazon is a really ugly, ugly company. And
the main reason
that's not even talking about all the people they put out of business. They just really fuck them. They just.
Yeah.
In some cases, they try to get involved with them and say, hey, we love what you're doing. We'd love to buy you out. And they say, no, we like what we're doing. We want to run it. And then what they do is they do the same thing, and they do it 10 times cheaper and the people can't stay in business.
Ask diapers.com, and then they just bought them.
It's ugly.
Just bought them.
And going back to the guy in the boner line who said he did everything his dad did, and he's working for Chrysler. Mm-hmm. Well, Chrysler and Generous Motors – and Ford, those are great places to work for a long, long time. And, I hope this guy eventually finds a place where he can make better money than his dad. But going to work at Chrysler now is not like going to work for Chrysler when his dad. It's just not.
Yeah, those lucky boomers.
Because you boomers ruined it.
Well, we had...
they still get profit sharing, and they still make a decent hour.
Oh, it's not
rate.
A bad... Oh, I doubt this guy's a bad... He said he's just above poverty.
They get months off.
How does he have
time?
So much... Okay, I'm just...
I'm like addressing you, borderline person.
Was he How do you have so much fucking education, and you're just making above poverty? It seems like you'd be able to find another job that would be... do you have to work at Chrysler?
Isn't the poverty line like then 25,000 or something? So maybe he's making 30?
He didn't say how old he is. If he's that educated, I would think that he will get somewhere, somehow, some way. I hope. Maybe go into business for himself. But, you know, the big three...
No one should be cobbling a life.
No, they shouldn't. The big three didn't have the competition they had when his dad got the job. You know, they were ignoring the Japanese companies and they shouldn't have been, but they were. And what do you know? The next thing you know, there's a bunch of other car companies that are equal competitors. There's also a lot more people buying cars now.
I guess you could work at Tesla.
Tesla.
Wait,
why do you mention
that? There are more people buying cars, but is it a smaller percentage of the population now?
Oh, their market share is much smaller than it was.
Well,
it went down for 30 straight years. Yeah. And
it's tough.
That's funny you mentioned Tesla because I was... This guy was talking about working for Tesla bought out, I think it was a window company or a window frame company. And I forgot why they did it, but this guy worked there. He's the guy that called Elon Musk a clown.
Yeah.
And Elon called him. He said, it's the clown.
Yeah.
Anyway, he went on to describe
he is a clown.
Just a horseshit working situation. Just horrible. And they got a lot of government money for that place because Musk said, we're going to take all this territory, we're going to put this factory to work. And
what did Tesla pay in federal taxes last year?
How much government money did they get?
That's a good point.
Elon Musk's taken a lot of, he's got a lot of nice little
grants. He's an idea man.
He is.
Nobody wants to shut down an idea man.
What's going on with this thing he's burrowing through Los Angeles, by
It's not
going to
happen. It's not going to, it's an
he
old.
He did start burrowing.
He's a boring company.
He's so beyond that. He's on to like five things after that.
Instead of boring, he decided to make the flamethrower.
That's been his best success, the flamethrower.
Which was limited but sold out. And then,
why don't they make
they...
more of the flamethrowers then? If that was such a success.
That was 20 ideas ago, Drew.
I know.
Yeah, I think he abandoned the burrow because it wasn't feasible.
Well, didn't they say that it ended up being just like a one-lane underground highway?
Yeah.
Like there's no track.
It didn't seem like it made a lot of sense. Maz, I want to ask you something. Don't answer right away.
All right.
Do you think Maz has ever been to a TED Talk?
No.
No.
Who would make them?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I think you should give one, though. It seems like a match made in
heaven. We found out that Charlie Leduff gave a TED Talk.
No.
It's online. It's 31,000 views, and the people liked it. But, I mean, Charlie's Charlie.
But once you, if you're going to go to a TED Talk, you're probably going to like it.
Well, there's certain people I would be interested in hearing what they have to say. But when I see a TED Talk and I see who's talking, I usually go, oh, my God, who goes to that?
I don't know. I've seen some people that were about to give TED Talks, and I thought, I'd like to try that. And then I get bored within 3 minutes.
Oh, the ones you're looking at online?
Yeah.
To see if we're wrong about anything?
Yeah, the Joey Harrington one, terrible. Mark Ronson,
Harrington.
Terrible.
Who would
Monica Lewinsky, terrible.
No, Monica Lewinsky has a TED Talk.
Hers was probably one of the more, I think I lasted the longest with hers.
What was she talking about? Oh, bullying?
I don't remember. I was bored.
I'm going to actually watch Charlie's.
Just I bet it's good.
I see Bob standing in the background.
Yeah, well, now, Bob. See, look, he's adding Bob? Props, even though it's Bob. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a drum kit. Why is there a drum kit?
Is that Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bob looks kind of badass there.
He does. He's got glasses on.
Now I got a baby.
And then you forward ahead, he has another guy come out and talk.
Okay. What up, though?
Can he get the job done?
Can he?
I don't know. Racism is not going to make a difference. Whether
see, this
job.
Isn't a TED Talk, a though. This is there's multiple people up there.
Well, it's
because I'm standing in the background with sunglasses on, looking badass. That adds a lot.
I think that's why TED Talks, at least to me, are really boring because they're just one person lecturing. There's no conversation.
I could tell you,
makes sense.
I feel so bad for people who are really in the midst of the corporate world right now because of all the bullshit you have to listen to. If you're half an intelligent human being, you know how to act. And the people, these stupid...
I don't know why they do it.
I know. Give the money to the people, for crying out loud. Hey, did you guys... Brandon sent me this.
So wait, did you answer if you've ever been to a TED Talk?
No.
I've never been. I told him.
Have you ever watched one online?
No, but I might look at Charlie's.
Please do. Well, not Charlie's. Please watch someone else's.
What do you want me to watch?
Watch Joey Harrington.
I'd watch Joey Harrington for a couple of minutes. See what he had to say.
Yeah, you won't make it that far.
Well, he's probably inspirational kind of guy.
What if you've driven somewhere 30 minutes and you parked and all the trouble going for Joey Harrington, and after 2 minutes in, you're just dreamweavering away, which is what I would be doing.
Are you allowed to ask questions of Joey?
I don't know if there's a Q&A at TED Talks. Yeah,
that's the problem. It's a lecture. They should just call it lecture.
I don't want to shoot myself right now?
I would love to ask Joey some questions.
Brandon sent me this on Monday, or Sunday, actually, and I meant to bring it up because it's such a horrible snub. Deadline Detroit picks their 10 Detroit podcasts that are must-listen. Snubbed!
Come on.
Snubbed again!
In Detroit? Yeah.
Charlie made it.
Charlie's number one. And I love that he picked Charlie, or they picked Charlie.
That's terrible.
That's unbelievable.
Deadline Detroit you'd think they'd think of us.
Very sad.
There's 10 other podcasts that are better.
ML's wasn't on there either.
Well, it doesn't didn't exist when they did the story.
Well, the episodes are good.
By the way, what are those other shows?
No Filter wasn't on there either.
I actually went and listened to a couple of them just so I could know.
Get mad at them?
Yes. And I did get mad. I won't say which ones they were. And then I got mad at the comments, too, because the comments were mentioning another show, not ours.
Yeah. Well, the comments were a show that didn't seem very Detroit-centric.
Well, what is that show?
I don't know. I'm not going to listen to it. I was mad.
Were we one of the first podcasts in Detroit?
No.
Not one of the first.
IT and the D was on there. That's a good show.
They were on the list.
Yeah. They belong.
Yeah, I'll hand it to them. That's
still
okay.
Mad about it.
Any sports ones?
I don't think there was a sports one.
I don't think so either.
By the way, No Filter. I listened to No Filter yesterday, and it was a fun show. I don't know why I laugh at Denny so much. He's so obstinate.
Yes.
I never know what he's going to say, too.
You're right, he is.
And you know what I noticed about Denny? It's made me realize something. That, you know, in our show, nobody gets away. If anybody starts acting a little haughty, they never get away with it. And Denny provides the same service. If anybody starts getting carried away with himself, he does. And
an internet sports talk show.
I'm starting to think that's a sports thing.
You
because
so?
That was because I remember, you know, playing baseball in college, you get ragged. People ragged each other so much, and you really had to watch what you said because you knew you'd take it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that Denny probably gets that from sports, too. But Dennis Franklin was telling Eli how what a great job he did when he recommended him for Channel 4. And Denny was just like, oh, shut up. Would you stop? Knock it off. I got to work with this guy. But Dennis Franklin was a great guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Well, his story in the Michigan-Ohio State realm is fascinating.
Yeah, he was 30 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie in 3 years. Wow. 71, 72, well, 73,
that,
74.
That one tie.
That tie is big, though.
Yeah, the 10-10 tie, Michigan and Ohio State were both 10-0-1.
He was injured.
He said his collarbone would have been healed by the game, but they voted 5-4-1 to send Ohio State. The Big Ten voted, and Bo went apeshit. But the thing about it was 30 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie. He never went to a bowl game. Yeah. Not any bowl game.
Yeah. Now these days you go 15-15 and you're going to go to a bowl game every year.
I know. It's so dumb.
They're saying MSU is going to get a go to New York and play in the
Pinstripe Bowl, the new era Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah. I don't think they deserve to go there.
What?
They're 6-6.
Wait. Can we analyze this? I mean, why does Tom Mazzoli feel like they're not deserving of the new era Pinstripe Bowl?
I think they should be stuck doing the bowl right here at Ford Field. That's what I think.
What's the difference?
Because I think they should at least give
I think they'd draw more. I think they would at least fill the I think that would be a bigger honor.
It'd be 60,000
Ford
here.
Field would rather have them. But, yeah, I mean, 60, in your 000. Mind, why are they not good enough
who's
to play?
Who's going to go watch
because
them?
Because they're in Yankee Stadium.
Kind
of. Well, isn't that about?
That's what I was kind of getting at.
But Mass, isn't that kind of what you're saying they deserve? Is a stadium that no one goes to see the because no one's going to go to.
Good point.
Someone go to that game. They're probably comfortable with small crowds. The crowd they had for the finale against Maryland.
That was. Yeah.
Oh my God, was that grim? Bob Page was going on and on about that. It sounded like I saw some highlights. It's like there's no one behind the play.
Who would go?
The students.
Except ML.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but it's not a sports podcast.
I understand that. Sorry.
So, but I did want to mention No Filter and give them a nice plug because it was. I don't know. I like hearing people talk about the Michigan Ohio State thing because I really it's a very tricky topic, and I actually went through on Monday morning, I went through the last 16 games, and Ohio State's won by an average of 16 and a half points.
Well, the last two games didn't, you know, don't hurt that average.
There's a lot of games in there, though. There's a 35-5 or 37-7.
I think Ohio State's outscored Michigan the last 2 years and outgained them more than they have Rutgers.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Hey, Rutgers is back. They got Greg Schiano. They're back.
How long is that going to take?
Years.
All right.
About 8 years, because that was the deal.
We have Gary Hoey tomorrow. He's at the Magic Bag on the 13th of December.
Mr. Skin.
We love you, Gary!
Why can't you even have Mr. Skin when I'm here?
We did once, didn't we?
Once. It was fun.
Well, man, you got jury duty. We want to stay focused. You got vacations. Well,
jury duty was not my choice. It's my civic duty.
It's my civic duty.
Yeah, I'm a juror.
You've really accepted it as a...
I am a juror. I'm a sitting juror.
Why don't you just tell us about the case and they'll kick you off?
I've already heard, you know, some, you know, what do you call it?
Opening arguments?
Yeah, or opening arguments. I heard we had a witness on the stand already.
Really?
Because when you said I'm a juror, you made it sound like you've gone through some special training to be a juror.
Well, you got
to
get through all these steps.
You have to turn your phone off while it's
you got to go through all these steps.
How many steps were there?
A ton.
Are you going to lobby to be head juror?
They've already want me to be they already want me to be the foreman of the jury.
Are you serious?
Can I give you a quick 2 minutes?
Are you serious?
Do they know you have no attention span and you don't take direction or orders very well?
Are you already feeling bad for the defendant?
We think there's tremendous danger for an appeal because the defense attorney is going to say he was in his phone. That juror one was in his phone the whole time.
But then we already decided too that you'll just feel bad for the defendant because he's there. Not the victims of whatever the crime is, but the defendant is there, and you'll see him and feel bad for him because he's taking on the man.
Are you allowed to have your phone?
I didn't do this.
You
stuff.
Are.
You're allowed to have your phone.
How much were you in your phone while opening arguments were going on?
No, I put it away during opening arguments. But you're allowed. You know, we sit.
So you're supposed to bring it out after opening arguments.
You can bring it out. Bring it out in the jury room or when you were sitting waiting to be called as a juror.
I was gonna say because we might have been.
What?
You might have been checking out your activity online.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. So anyway, you get into this. You get called. They call 45 people up first. This is Macomb County Circuit Court.
And they got to knock it down to 12.
45.
They call four. Out of those 45, once you get into the courtroom, they call 14 people.
45.
Okay.
So 14 people get called up and go into the box, the jury box.
Wow.
And they call you.
Were you intimidated by the box at all?
I like the box. Very comfy seats.
Okay, good.
I felt very case. Tucked in. It was comfy. You know, the boxes
cool.
around you. I was jury number four.
Can you have
four.
A drink?
Yeah, you can have a drink.
Yeah, they have a waiter and waitress. Like
no, they don't. You can't. Nothing free. No.
Tap.
You get some water.
Shouldn't it be like the press box?
It should.
There should be a layout.
I have my jury badge. I left it in the car. I should have brought it out here to show
Damn.
You guys.
Why?
I can go out and get it for you if you
don't worry about it.
That's okay.
We're fine.
So anyway, now they call the 14 people up, and they put you under oath. You have to stand up, put your right hand up, do the whole oath thing. Then they go around, and the judge will ask you, all right, is there any reason that you can't be here?
This is kangaroo court.
That's when you throw out the N-word.
He's like, and he goes through a bunch of things. You know, if you have a sick kid or if you're sick or you got this or you got that. So he goes to juror number one. No, I could be here. Juror number two gives like some excuse. And no, juror number two was good. Juror number
three. Let me guess. Juror number three stole your excuse.
Yeah, here's juror number three.
Juror number three.
Get me a jury and show me how you can say in July. Go down on you.
Exactly. Juror number three says in an accent. He had an accent.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait to hear you do this accent.
He says, I can't be here. It's, and the judge's like, why? He's like, it's from my work. So the judge is like,
what ethnicity is he?
What kind of work?
I'm pretty busy with barley and hops and stuff.
I think he was Arabic. Yeah, I think
I'm
he
like
was.
Busy watching TV.
So he's like, so the judge asked him, what do you do?
For rescheduling.
So he's like, I can't see. I'm not at liberty to say what I do.
What?
Yeah. So the judge goes, are you this? Are you that? Are you a private investigator? Kind of. So they asked the two lawyers to join the judge, and they pulled juror number three with them. They go into this back room.
Were you jealous?
No, I was up next.
Oh.
So I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to say?
Allegedly, I should say that for legal purposes.
So they bring him back, and the judge says, all right, we discussed it, and he's excused.
Was he that fucking important?
So he, yeah.
Who cares?
They have to go through every juror.
What happened?
Why did they just go get the fuck out of here instead of wasting time meeting?
They did.
In the...
It was an extra, like, 8 minutes at least.
Oh, my God.
So now they have to call a new juror up from the pack of wolves that are still left.
Right.
To come take juror number three's place. They call him up. He's in, like, army fatigues, and he's got this beard. And he didn't look very happy to be there. He didn't look very happy to be there.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
So they ask him, okay, juror number three, that you just sat down. I'm going to ask you the same question. Is there anything that you, you know, can you, what's precluding you from being here?
Maz, did you say?
Thank you for your service.
I didn't.
You didn't.
Thank
didn't
you for your service, bro.
I didn't get a chance. So
did
he,
you tell him.
Your dad had the best penis in the military.
Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
Yes.
I can't sit for longer than an hour and a half because I have hemorrhoids.
Oh, he stole your excuse.
Yes.
Good job.
And then he goes into it. If I sit too long, they bleed and I get blood in my stool.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
This is what he's saying in front of the whole juror.
How did you not laugh?
I mean, we're all
just started
laughing.
I'm
sitting right next to him.
How awkward is this?
And did you say?
But one man's too much information is another man's too little information. TLI.
They talked to him a couple.
And one other man's JEI. Just enough information.
The great genius.
A couple more minutes go by, and the judge is like, but you know, you won't be sitting more than an hour. You know, we exaggerate when you say.
You probably would have been kicked off if you just laughed out loud.
You could have defended him and said, oh, I think I smell
that. Are they trying to get the day done or something?
No,
why would you debate that?
They're not. I think they enjoy what they're doing.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, he goes into his spiel again. I just started getting these 2 months ago. I'm going to be, well, have you had them a long time? No, I just got them a couple months ago. I'm going to the doctor, and they're going to decide what they have to do, maybe to cut them off or something like that. At that point, he looks at the lawyers and like, any objection to, no, Your Honor, he can go.
Oh, my God.
So they let him go, and they call another guy up. The other guy's
another
fine.
Oh,
the other
God.
Guy's fine. Number three is okay now.
Okay.
It's a woman. Now they come to me. Juror number four, is there any reason that you can't be here? I'm like, well.
I'm a racist. It's,
I, you know, it's my job.
Who's
I
got AIDS?
I can't be here. What do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm in broadcasting.
Why don't you just say,
I don't know what I'm doing, and everybody hates.
I'm a racist.
So the judge sits up. And he's like, oh, broadcasting, TV or radio? I'm like,
oh, I'm like, you don't want your autograph.
I'm like, radio.
I think the judge, does the judge like hearing himself talk?
He loves it.
Oh, you're going to get thrown off
most
now.
Most judges do.
Okay, so he's a real nice guy, by the way. Very well spoken.
He's trying to save his place on the jury.
No, I do love him. It was a great guy.
Okay, all right.
I was excited to kind of be there, to be like in the middle of something. I've never been that far.
I know. This is big time.
It is big. But I told him I can't because I have obligations. I got to go to work. He's like, what do you do? I'm a broadcaster. Radio? Yeah. What's the name of the show? Oh. So I'm like, Drew and Mike Show. And I see a bunch of people saying, oh, yeah. Oh, Drew and Mike Show. A bunch of people. Oh, yeah. Oh,
good luck with the podcast.
So he's like, wait, can't you ask to get the time off?
You tell him I only work once.
I didn't tell him. Work once a week.
I didn't tell him that. I'm like, I had to make arrangements. They're waiting for me at 4 o'clock today.
Did the judge say, is it a good show? And you said, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't listen to it.
Okay, Brandon.
Sorry.
Okay. So I'm like, I have to be there at 4 today, but the rest of the week, I have to be there at 10 in the morning. Because my other job is 10 in the morning.
No wonder you got here so late. Yeah. This went on for so long.
It did. So then he's like, well, what if Mitch Albom needs a day off? Isn't he going to get someone to do his show? He brought up Mitch Albom.
What?
Yeah. Did you say, Your Honor, no one listens to that show, so no one knows.
Did you mention that you work for Mitch Albom, too?
I said, I used to work for him back in the day.
I'm from the Free Press. What's up my butt?
I got some good laughs from the peanut gallery.
The interesting thing is that someone listens to Mitch Albom. The judge.
They do. The judge listens that. To him.
Movers and shakers.
Probably because he's been on the show.
So he looks at the two lawyers, the one defense lawyer, no, prosecuting lawyer, very nice looking, by the way.
Oh, really?
Very nice looking.
Prosecuting lawyer's nice looking?
Oh, so was the defense lawyer. They were both.
Oh, really? Okay. I was going to say, you might get thrown off the jury
both,
now.
They were both.
Sex court?
They were both hot, man. I mean, really hot.
Wow,
anyway.
Cool.
They were like, well, can't you, tomorrow, you said you had to be in at 10 tomorrow, right? I'm like, yeah. Well, we don't start until 1 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow.
They really needed you.
They needed me. So I'm like, I guess so. And the next day, same thing, 1 to 5. And then the Friday was supposed to, this is a three-day event. Not Miss, including today.
This story is already 45 minutes.
No.
It's a full Jackson.
I'm sorry. So they're like, the judge is like, I see no reason that you cannot be here. Whoa. If we let you go, that means every radio and TV guy can't be a juror. That's what he said.
Why didn't you say, you know, we comment on stories all the time of court, you know, a lot of true crime.
I reached down deep, but I came up with nothing. Oh, I was blank. Man.
So they're like, you know what you should have said? I have hemorrhoids too.
I should have. So they passed me by. Hey, I mean, thanks for being here, sir. Thank you for your time. So I had to sit down.
Back in my bunghole.
Exactly. So they go all the way around. They excuse four more jurors.
Why?
Jurors were let go.
Can you say really quickly why those six were?
Not in real time, but.
No, I get it. Some were for picking up their kids, and I'm a single mother, and, you know, another one was I'm unemployed and I have five interviews on Thursday.
It's tough being a single mom.
That kind of stuff.
You could have said all that.
I know. I blew it. I blew it.
Good job.
So now I am here in a. I'll be there through
limited
Friday.
Capacity.
I'll be there through Friday.
And you're going to be the foreman.
And I'm going to be the
foreman.
It's
going to go that long?
It's going to go that long.
I personally, I can't believe they spent all that time on a guy with hemorrhoids. I would think they just go, get out of here.
Are you sequestered?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not sequestered. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to leave.
I don't know why that reminds me of this, but it does. When the guy, you know, asked you where you worked, and he mentions Mitch Albom, I was in line buying just a few things, a couple chicken pot pies, and just at the grocery store. And
7-Eleven sells chicken pot pies?
No, they don't.
Okay,
I actually went off the charts.
That sounds delicious.
And the clerk is asking me for my, you know, would you have your discount thing? I'm like, oh shit, I'm going all for it. And it's like I've never been to a grocery store before. So finally, she goes, oh, well, what's your phone number? So I give her the phone number. I'm thinking, I don't even know if I have one of these things here. And she goes, oh, Drew. And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, Drew and Mike? And I'm like, oh, my God. Because I was thinking, I wouldn't have pictured you listening to us. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, oh, wow, yeah, I know you guys. And the conversation starts winding around. And the next thing she says is, didn't Mike die? And I said, yeah, he died. And so she goes, well, what's the arrangement? Do you still use his name? I mean, how do you pay for that? I'm like,
Was there a line?
No, there was no line.
Good.
No. And I said, I don't know. We work it out. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, she doesn't seem like a listener at all. She's just, I don't know. I was just getting kind of bummed out with the conversation.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I'm wearing my Drew and Mike hat.
Oh, yeah.
No, what a dope.
Oh. No.
She saw Drew, saw my hat.
But she knew.
Did you ever find your card?
I know, she knew of us. I don't think she was really a listener.
Did you ever find your card?
No.
She knew Mike passed.
I had to give her the phone number.
She knew Mike passed away.
Yeah, she did know that. No, she had limited knowledge of the show, in my opinion, very limited. Because when I still thought she was a listener, I said, you listen to the podcast? And she said, no, I don't even know what a podcast is. And so I was starting thinking like, Google the show, Drew. And I was like, No, I don't think so.
I was thinking about you yesterday. I went to an Office Depot, which, by the way, did you know they still exist, Office Depot?
I didn't.
Do you have any
idea?
Are
we sure? This isn't like Will and Grace. 4chan just came up with this whole program to make people think there's something called Office Depot.
Office Max, too.
8 Mile and Greenfield. Like, there's an Office Depot there. And you go in, and by the way, there's maybe the shelves are 10% full of items.
Crickets. It's the same thing.
It's like an empty warehouse. It's
are you serious?
The only stuff they have is like, where they help you print stuff, you know, like a Kinko's would.
Wait, there's not Kinko's anymore, is there?
Yeah, they're Kinko FedEx stores now.
Yeah.
They're combined together.
We have one on back. Doesn't
everyone go in there for FedEx and never for Kinko's?
Yes, you're right. They do.
So why bother having the Kinko's?
Some people need to make copies.
I already had the sign.
The UPS store does the same thing,
too. Why don't they just get a copier?
I don't know.
Why don't they just tell people to make their own fucking copies?
That was the other thing that was full there is all the ink cartridges for printers, which is why I was there, because this one was out of ink. And I'm like, oh, this is for idiots like me who don't think in advance to order it on Amazon, and they get screwed. So anyway, I go to buy it, and I'm the only person in line. The guy in front of me is taking forever. And so then it's my turn, and they're like, hey, and they hand you a flyer, and it's like, you just text this number and download our app, and you'll get 25% off today.
Oh, God.
And I immediately thought of you because you would have just said, no, thanks. But, you know, these ink cartridges are, I think they're like,
I know they are expensive.
They're 80 bucks. So I'm like, okay, it's going to save me. And
well, every now and then, you know, I really feel like, boy, I'm an asshole. Why do I not want to save money? That's annoying. I mean, because I've come to this conclusion that even if I take all the discounts everyone wants to offer me that take up all this time, even if I don't take them all, it's not going to make a difference in the long term in terms of how much money I have or will there be enough money to live the rest of my life.
No.
It's just not going to matter.
But I
like my time. I don't like talking about discounts and this and that. And the guy – and anyway, I feel like a total asshole, like the guy that said – yeah, you want this? You say $5. And I'm like, no, I don't want it. And he goes, you don't save $5 on your purchase here. It's only $12.66 what you're buying. And I'm like, okay, I guess I should take it. And so then it goes to this long conversation. And then I'm like, no, I don't want $5 off. I wish I was in my car right now. I would pay $5 to be in my car.
I got a better idea. No fucking way.
The same guy has asked me about the $5 thing at CVS
times since then. CVS didn't we realize he gets a kickback?
Yeah, he gets a kickback.
Yeah, that's
he
why.
He told me he got a kickback, but he didn't tell me till late in the conversation. Because I said, God, you should get a kickback for all this work. And he goes, yeah, I do.
Well, after being at Office Depot,
you're fucking with me every time I go in there.
It took three people to figure out the app after I had downloaded it on my phone because I wanted to continue as a guest on the app. I didn't want to sign up because I knew the second I'm out that door, I'm deleting the app from my phone. I don't need it. I don't want it. It's just for this goddamn 25% off.
Why
on this 70-
give it 25% off? Why don't you just give it to you?
Great question.
Why do you have to go through all that trouble?
Great question.
Don't you want people downloading the show? Same kind of thing. They download an app. It accounts.
But it's Office Depot. Are you as passionate about Office Depot as our audience is about our show?
They're trying to stay alive.
No one is because there's no one in there.
Stay alive.
The only one I have is the Speedy Rewards points, and you would benefit from a 7-Eleven Rewards.
I know.
You would have until they changed the points you get. You don't get nearly what you used to get, by the way. That's a whole other issue.
You don't.
No, it's a total.
I'll wait till July 11th.
I'm telling you right now. It's not worth it. It used to be, but it's not anymore. Anyway, so I was so exhausted.
Why are the shelves so empty there? I mean, didn't you feel like going, hey, are you guys going to be out of business in a few minutes?
Bezos is the reason those shelves are so empty.
No doubt.
But are they going to last much longer?
There's only like three in the area.
Oh, boy.
It was really bummer. Kind of sad.
You just turn it into an Amazon warehouse. You know, slash Office Depot.
Might as well.
That's how I feel when I go into a bookstore now. I feel like, I wonder how long this will be here.
Where is there a bookstore?
Oh, there's a bookstore on Rush Street in Chicago. It's a really good one.
Yeah. It's a big one in Rochester.
You had to go all the way. You had to go 5 hours away to find a bookstore.
But I was there, and I was like, a bookstore. I was excited to walk in.
Don't you got your Ann Arbor one? Book
Where?
Nook? Isn't it the Book Nook?
The hell is that?
No, the Book Nook's in Oakland U. What's the one in
Well, Borders used to be Ann Arbor, but they're all gone now.
It's a Borders in Chicago, I think. Or no.
Is it?
No, maybe, no. What's the other one?
Barnes & Noble.
Maybe it's a Barnes & Noble.
Probably all be in Amazon.
I was in that record store in Royal Oak. Hoo-ah! And it was like, I'm in a record store. Oh, my God. It was kind of cool to be in there.
How awesome was Harmony House?
Huh?
So how awesome was Harmony House?
Well,
so the story's almost taking as long.
I liked it.
The story's almost taking as long as I was in Office Depot, by the way. But this is why I really thought of you all again.
Great.
So after they finally found the coupon on the app and typed it in, I'm just burnt from the whole experience.
Oh, I know.
And he goes, what's your zip code? I tell him my zip code and your first name and your last name. And I finally was like, why do you need my last name? Like, what do you need my last name?
What are they doing with this?
You're a rewards member,
all this
Mark.
Wasted time.
And I gave him my real last name. And I'm sitting there going, why didn't he just say Johnson or something fake? And then he wanted an email address. And I'm like,
oh, God.
And it was one of those things where I'm just answering the questions. And then afterwards, I'm like, why don't I just give him fake information? He doesn't care. That clerk doesn't care. No one knows. I already got my 25% off.
You know,
now Office Depot's probably tracking me.
I got to ask you this because are you done with the story? I'm sorry.
Yes,
it seems like there could be more.
Really painful.
It seems like there couldn't be more, but it seems like there could be more.
I wanted to share my Office Depot pain.
No, I love the story. I mean, why don't they just go, hey, it's 25% off?
Wouldn't that have been
so much easier?
They want you to have the app because there's probably.
But it was a temporary app anyway.
Well, for me it was, but you got to think there's probably, you know, 80% of the people plan on deleting the app, and probably only half of those people do.
You have the 7-Eleven app on here right now?
I don't.
Let me put it off for you.
It's terrible.
No, don't do it. I don't want it.
Come on.
You actually pulled his phone away from Scott.
Okay. When we have meetings with the Mesa partners, you know, social media always comes up. Oh, social media is so important. And they were talking about these email blasts. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, people want emails from Mesa? People go to the Mesa Facebook page? And I guess they do. I mean, there's people like it. I mean, not as many likes as we have. I mean, I think they have 5,000, 6,000 likes. And I just find myself wondering, is interacting with restaurants on social media, is that really a thing? Is that, is that really a game changer in the business?
If you have that, though, and maybe you buy an ad, it pops up on someone's newsfeed. I think it still works for food because people will go, that looks good. I'm going to order it right now and have it delivered to me through Grubhub or something.
Are you into that, Maz?
Sure. I mean, and they might send you something that you'll come tonight and we'll give you X amount of dollars off the bill.
They insist it works, but I just, because I'm me and I'm old and I'm just lazy, I just kind of go,
people really interact with social.
Because there's a lot of restaurants I like. It's like, I can't imagine having all this time for all these restaurants on social media and getting emails from all of them. And
I don't think they interact, though. I think the idea is, that taco looks good. I'm going to go
there. It gives you a quick reminder.
It's a reminder. That's true.
It gives you a quick reminder.
Okay. So you're psyched when you get an email from a restaurant?
I don't know about psyched, but, you know, I'll give it a quick look. I won't just delete
it. You will give it a quick look?
I'll give it a quick look.
Really?
Yeah. If there's a picture and something on there, I'll look at it.
Because you want to see the picture of food?
I do.
Because of Black Friday, though, I just got probably
oh my God.
15 different companies that sent them to me.
And I was overwhelmed.
And I didn't look at any of them.
You got to unsubscribe to a lot of them.
I unsubscribed from so many emails over the weekend.
I do, too.
And I don't think I'm unsubscribed for them because I keep getting them. No, I don't think they really do. Yeah.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
Brandon, get us out of here.
I just got here.
I know. It's we're at the 219 mark. It's a good, healthy, lengthy show. Good, healthy length, I think.
Maz's story and my story were at least, 90% of the show? Felt that way, at least.
I know. I never would have dreamed the topic of Office Depot could have lasted that long.
You know what's funny? Was it Office Depot or Office Max? I don't even remember
I don't know
where I went.
I was so weary. I felt wearier than you going through the whole thing, and you drove there and back.
Believe me, you're going to want to go there just to see how empty the place is. It's quite sad. It's like ruined porn.
I know.
It is.
That is a bummer. I mean, I feel bad. Because I drive by business and I go, oh my God, that still exists? And I'm like, does anyone really go there? Or is it that just the name still left on the building? And that's what I would think if I went by Office Depot. And I'm sorry if you work at Office Depot. But that's just what I would think.
It was sad. Hey, to update our poll, it's now 50-50. Do you know anyone who's ever seen an episode of Will and Grace?
Oh, yeah.
However, the other poll of, have we ever seen Three's Company? It's at 80% yes. So
yeah, that's for sure.
I guess we have seen it.
That show's a million years old. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, but we couldn't remember anything about it.
What, I remember Don Knotts.
Very little. Yeah, but we didn't.
You don't remember Jack Tripper?
Okay, who was
he
who
knows
was
his name too.
Who was his landlord, Tom?
Mr. Furley.
That was Don Knotts. Who was before him, though?
Mr. Roper.
Okay.
That's correct.
There we go.
Wow.
Mrs. Roper was kind of hot in her own way.
Really?
Yeah, kind of.
Look her up.
She's all yours.
She had that curly hair. I used to dig that curly hair.
Which curly hair?
The pubes.
On her head.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Trudy will be here. Hoey and Skin. Wow, what a Wednesday.
I sentence you to 20 days, and if you say anything else, I'm gonna add 20 days for everything you say. F*** you. 40 days. F*** you again. 60. Go f*** yourself. A year. Your mama. 10 years. Suck my d-